Blog Talk Radio.
Even in the ring?
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, David Chang.
Is it me, man? Is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. What's going on, guys? Hope everybody's doing good. It's hot, man. You know, anyways. Chris from 916 Sacramento, what's going on, brother?
No, man, chill. I'm looking to get some boxing talk in here, man.
I heard that, man. I don't know why everybody calls me when they know that the show starts at 5, why do people call my cell phone? You still get it, man. Anyways, man, let's see who else is online. We got Juan the Baby Boo Diaz calling in a little shortly right now to tell us about what's going on next in his career, what is his thoughts about Paulie Malignaggi, and if is he looking past Paulie right now and looking into the future and what entails for him in his eyes and stuff. So let's go with caller 612, go ahead and state your name, brother. Where are you calling from, and what's on your mind?
I'm calling from Minneapolis. It's Carlito from the Ropa Dope Report.
Orale, Carlitos. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How you doing?
Doing good, brother. Doing good, man. I'm a little tired, though. I've been outside. I'm working up in Stockton and stuff, doing a small project out there, and I'm up on a roof in a fireplace. Fire building for firefighters and doing some stuff. So the heat just kind of wore me out and all that, man. I believe I got my boy, Mr. David Chin, on the line. David Chin, you there, brother?
You got that right, my brother.
What's going on, man? Okay, before you know, before Juan Diaz calls in, I want to kind of catch up really quick, guys, with David Chin, because Mr. David Chin went to go down. He went down to the Staples to cover the Klitschko and Oriella conference, bro. How did that go?
It went very well, man. I got a little bit over 30 minutes of conference footage. I'm going to hand that to Dave, and Dave can put it up for everybody to see.
Any trash talking between these guys, man? Is there any bad blood, or is there any bad blood that seems to be brewing up between these warriors, or just gentlemen?
There's actually no bad blood whatsoever. The only thing you get is a bit of a clash of personality. You know, Chris Arreola, kind of a loose-talking, more relaxed guy, the way he's dressed. Klitschko, you know, he's more of the European champion, you know, you know, like English being his second language. He's being very proper kind of thing. You know, no bad blood whatsoever, but they both mean it. And Klitschko is not taking Arreola lightly at all. He's saying in his mind, this is a 50-50 fight. Chris is a unique problem, and he's going to have to be 100% in the ring to handle
him. Man, I like that. I like that and stuff. You know, Chris didn't talk about taking a dump at this conference like he did to the last conference.
Chris said a bunch of funny stuff because people were asking him questions and they asked him some of the good ones. You know, you saw that picture that's been going around where he looks really big in it. And Steve Kim from Max Boxing was like, "Hey, Chris, I'm sure you've seen that picture. What do you think?" And Chris is like, "Oh man, that's really embarrassing." But what can you do? You know, people Photoshop me and put me on the internet. You know, just a bunch of good stuff. You know, lighthearted stuff. You know, trying to keep himself relaxed and stuff like that. And Henry Ramirez, his trainer, you know, he's also game too. He's like, "Vitaly, I respect you, man. You're a great champion, but I have no doubt my boy's going to bring the championship back to the U.S.
Oh, hell yeah, and I hope he does, you know, because it's something that we all want to see. I mean, it's a tough task for both of these guys. You know, even Henry, he's a young, you know, trainer and stuff. He's in his mid-30s and young guy. And getting a shot, you know, so this is something new for both of these guys, you know what I mean, for both of these guys, young cats in the game, you know, and both Mexican-American, to step into the ring with a guy that, you know, he's gonna carry a lot of weight in there to put on Chris, man. So hopefully Chris has got that head moving and stuff, and you know he goes in there with the mentality that he's gonna win, because he's gonna need a lot more than just a good punch and head movement to beat, you know, Vitaly Klitschko, man. Hey, anybody, any fighters there, man? Anything interesting? I mean, what was the atmosphere like and stuff? Were there mini skirts there? Were there nothing but suits? What was cracking over there in L.A., brother?
Oh, man, it was mostly dudes at this one. I guess they wanted to keep it classy. They had Michael Buffer, so I guess they went for the classy feel, right? You know, just like reporters standing around trying to get their shots in, and the fighters and the European promoters, people like that. You know, nothing too crazy, nothing out of the line or anything like that. You know, once you see the footage, you'll be like, oh, okay, one of those conferences. But, you know, for what it is, you know, they covered everything, and it's a rare chance to see Vitaly Klitschko talking English, and, you know, he's here. He's not here very often. It's just a good opportunity to see him be himself and answer a lot of the questions that we've had, you know, because he honestly needs a foothold in America for us to care, because he's one of the best heavyweights, and unless the Klitschkos make a dent here with the U.S. fans, you know, the division is never going to be as popular as it could be.
Well, hopefully it's going to be a hell of a fight and stuff. Let's see who else is on the line, man. Like I said, we're waiting for Juan the Baby Diaz to call in, so let's see if this is him right now. I don't want to keep him holding too long and stuff. Area code 484, go ahead and state your name, brother, and where are you calling from?
Hey, man, it's Strikeheart. Pennsylvania.
Strikeheart, what's going on, brother? What's going on? We thought you were Juan the Baby Bull Diaz and stuff, you know, but
I heard.
And stuff. So Dave, let's get right back to you and stuff, man, real quick, because I'm interested in what happened that day. You know, I see there's a couple other callers and all that, but hold off real quick, guys, because got to cover this and all that. And I got to also make a real quick announcement for Chris. I don't know if Chris knows this before I... Excuse me, Dave. Before I get, you know, forget, lose my train of thought. Hey, Chris, did you hear that your boy Diaz signed a boxing contract?
I briefly read something on it. It's not really good news, but, you know, I read something about it. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to that, to be honest.
I mean, if he's not going to be able to compete in the Strikeforce thing because due of, you know, Cheech and Chong puffing smoke, hanging out with future boxer, what makes him think he's going to make, you know, convert over to boxing? They're going to check him for the same things, don't you think?
Oh, he can pass. He just said he needed a 2-week notice ahead of time to get the weed out of the system. But, you know, that little bitter.
That's great, man.
It's true, man. That's why he didn't go to the test the other day. He said he could beat any test as long as he got enough time.
You know, it just cracks me up because, you know, when you're being a bad boy and stuff, man, and, you know, I had uncles, you know, that were hooked on, like, PCP, angel dust, stuff like that, and these guys would get loaded, and the next day they would try everything in their best, you know, to get it out of their system because they knew they had to go and see the PO and all that, you know what I mean? They're drinking a Pedialyte or you know, just doing all kinds of crazy stuff, man. So when you said that about Nick, it just kind of brought a memory back, and back in the good old days, I guess you could say. All right, man. Well, anyways, Dave, back over there, man. So what would you say would be the highlight of that conference, bro? I mean, did you even have a chance to chop it up between any of the fighters there and stuff individually or no?
You know, first of all, you know, I'm a fight fan. I went to cover the fight. You know, it's kind of like a work for my job kind of thing, but still, deep inside, I'm a fight fan no matter what. And when I walked in, you know, it says something to see people like Michael Buffer, Larry Merchant in person, you know, even some of the other journalists, some of the more famous ones like Steve Kim. And when Vitaly Klitschko came out, even in the day of fractured title belts and a poor year of heavyweights, I'm still like, wow, that's a heavyweight champ. You know what I mean? And like, that's he's right there in front of me. But, you know, it was definitely an experience. And after the questions were over, they started doing the individual TV station interviews and things like that, and I was trying to get in line to see if I could get Vitaly or Chris on camera for a bit, but then I called Vitaly's manager walking around, and he was on his way out, so what I did is I left the line, and I grabbed him real quick, and I told him about us, told him about our radio show, and got his contact info to try and get Vitaly on the show in the next few weeks.
Man, that'd be nice, you know, like to hear what he's got to say and stuff. And let's check in with a couple other fight fans. Actually, you know what, man? Let me find out about Carlito. What do you think about this fight, bro? What's your take about it? Who you picking and why?
Well, you know, I like it because one thing that a lot of people have said when they've done their prediction shows is Vitaly is definitely more respected and more liked here because of his fight style, you know, obviously from the Lennox Lewis. He had the Terminator cut going on with all those five different cuts, and he kept fighting like a warrior. And we know, you know, Areola brings it like a warrior. So I guess I'm just, first and foremost, really excited that we actually might see a scrap in a heavyweight fight. You know what I mean? But I'd say, you know, when push comes to shove, you're right about the head movement. You did see Areola duck a couple jabs, or at least move his head a little bit, and counter, and he has good combination, and we know he's got pop. I guess just the experience in general, I think Vitaly will get him. We don't know exactly. He's never faced someone with the power of Vitaly. I would have liked to see him go up against at least one or two more top 10 guys, especially with his new training, supposedly his new training methods and getting in shape more. It would have been nice to have a couple camps before he steps up to this level. So I got Vitaly, but I think no matter what, it'll end up in a KO, you know, and I think it'll be back and forth.
I think the same thing too. You know, I mean, you brought up some good points. You know, he hasn't really fought anybody to really prepare him right now for this type of fight that he's going to be getting in with, you know, and really in the business of boxing, learning on the job is the toughest thing to do, man, when you're stepping in the ring, you know, because you're going to learn on the job all right. You know, you're going to get your jaw busted up or your nose smashed into your face and possibly just, you know, have your lights turned off, you know. So, I mean, I guess the only thing Chris could really do is he's going to have to fight, really honestly, a really intelligent fight against, you know, Vitaly. Because if that's one thing, Vitaly will adjust. You know, he'll use everything of that is his advantage in this fight. You know, his size. He's got a strong, stiff jab. He's going to try to land over the top. You know, he's going to put his weight on his Chris's body. And I think that's something that Chris has not seen yet. You know, even stepping in. You know, and I mentioned that fight with Travis Walker a lot because, you know, Travis Walker was a big, big heavyweight. But he just spent his gas a little too fast, too quick in the fight and was able to, you know, really knock himself out. You know, I mean, Chris was obviously there to give him the push down the slide. But, I think he did a lot of his own splashing. 916 Chris, man, what is your thoughts about this fight, brother?
I want Areola to win. I don't think he's going to win. You know, like you guys said, he's not ready yet. I mean, if you look at his record, you know, he's beat some names, and the guys that he beat have decent ledgers. But, you know, those guys aren't nobodies, you know, in all honesty. He just doesn't have the level of experience. And I'm really worried about the Walker fight now because he got hurt, you know what I'm saying, in the first round or whatever, he got dropped. And in Walker's next fight, he got smoked by a nobody. You know what I'm saying? So it makes me question Travis Walker as a fighter. You know, sure, he had an impressive record, you know, and he looks good in there, but he got dusted by a nobody in his next fight. It makes me question
what
to do to Chris.
He got dusted out by Manuel, I think his name was Manuel Quesada, if I remember correctly, who knocked him out in the first round, too, you know, seconds into the minute of the round. I can't really remember and stuff, man. But let's find out by some other fight fans, bro, what they think about and stuff. I think we got Rob Brillo out of Puerto Rico. Rob Brillo, what's going on, brother? What's your thoughts about this fight coming up with Cristian Namiriella versus Vitaly Klitschko?
I cannot be defeated. All right, let me stop. I must break you.
Hey, you knocked him down. You know, I think that's what Chris got to do. He's got to walk in and go, hey, you knocked him down. Why don't you try knocking me down?
No, but I think Chris is getting rushed a little bit. Vitaly's a little old. He's dealing with little injuries, but he has a lot of tricks in the bag. And he also has a lot of pop. He's finished every fight except for one. So I just see within six rounds, you know, Chris is just experienced. Because I think if Chris was fully developed, he could possibly have the potential of getting out a decision, or maybe by somehow getting a late knockout. But Right now, I just don't think he has the experience to deal with all those tricks, and Vitaly just might put on a show. So,
you know, that's one thing, though. I got to really honestly be concerned about it, Vitaly's injuries. You know, this guy does get injured a lot, man, in the ring, and that's, I think that's something that, you know, Oriella and his camper really got to focus on, is that there is a possibility of hurting this older warrior. There is a possibility of, you know, bringing to surface back an injury that he had in the past, you know, and that's going to be hard for him, especially for Kalisco, to try to fight through an injury in the ring, at the same time try to keep a guy that just throws a lot of volume of punches from every which angle, man. I mean, because that's one thing about Chris. He throws them everywhere, bro. It's been a while since we've seen a heavyweight be able to throw shots with uppercuts, you know, to the body, going back to the head and go back, you know, down to the body. I mean, it's rare. You know what I'm saying?
But another thing I want to say is that the last time Vitaly had an injury in the ring where he suffered during the fight was against Chris Bird, where he was winning the fight handily. He had one round to go with the injury, and he just quit, and he said he could not fight. It ended up in a TKO for Chris Bird. Or I think a decision, something like that.
Yeah, it did end up for a TKO, I believe, for Chris Bird. But remember, he's been injured during sparring. He has been injured before, and that's why he did retire for the moment. You remember that? I mean, he did say, I can't do it anymore. I got my knee or this and that, my back, my arm, my shoulder, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but if there's any truth to that, a lot of times those injuries really don't, I would have to say they don't really go away. Chris, what do you think?
I'm not worried about it for one reason. The only time, you know, he had all these injuries right before he retired and was gone for 2 years. The only time he got injured for some weird reason was when he was scheduled to fight Haseem Rockman. Every single time those guys rescheduled or signed for a fight, he got hurt in camp. I'm not saying he was ducking them. It's just bad luck, bad karma or something. But Rockman's name's not on the dotted line here, so I ain't worried about it one bit.
The Rockman curse.
David Chan, man, what do you think, brother? What are your thoughts about this fight here? I mean, you had a chance to see both these guys in person. What is the size difference, first off, man? I mean, is it pretty visible, man? Is it like Vladimir standing next to David Haye?
No, not at all. Unless you're talking about the height, which very few people are as tall as the Klitschko brothers. Their dimensions are actually very similar, because I got the press kit, and it has literally every single statistic on these guys, you know, their calf size, their bicep size, their wrist width, you know, things like that. And honestly, they're basically carbon copies of each other, except Chris is probably a little bit bigger in the body, like in the neck, in the waist, like in the shoulders and stuff like that, while Vitaly is a little bit taller. But other than that, Chris has similar reach, which is very surprising. He'll be able to reach Vitaly. That's going to be very useful. And,
wow.
You know, I'm looking at Vitaly, you know, I'm looking at him from a couple feet away, and the guy is old. You know, the guy is getting gray. You know what I mean? He is 38 years old, and he does have injuries. And when they were asking questions, you know, taking turns and stuff like that, when it came around to me, I asked him, I said, listen, you took a hiatus from boxing because you had injuries at one point. So at 38 years of age, is your body still going to be ready to put up with a type of pressure type fight that a young fighter is going to bring to you in the ring? And he kind of chuckled before he answered, and he said, well, you know, I am old, and everything in my body does hurt from all the years, but all I can do is prepare well and take this fight seriously. You see what I mean? So that is
right.
A legitimate concern, because if you look at his recent fights, he kind of depends on you not really knowing how to bring the fight to him, and he can kind of just fight it at his pace. Yeah, right. He can just, like, does his thing and stand there, because he's not really quick on his feet neither. I'm sure he's just trying to keep relaxing there, trying to put as little pressure on his older body as possible. So that's an interesting way to look at it. That's what's giving me mixed feelings about this fight, because if you're talking about prime for prime, Vitaly is going to have to be, you know, the winner in my prediction. But now, today, with the timing of this fight, I'm not so sure. If Vitaly is taking him seriously, saying this is a 50-50 fight, who am I to say otherwise?
That's a good question. Is Vitaly in his prime? Because I think a lot of us are still stuck on what he had did with Lennox Lewis, which has been some time, you know what I mean? Can he be in a war of that magnitude once again? That's the big question also that we have to lean towards Vitaly, because of the fact that He didn't get a game fighter making his comeback going against Samuel Peter, who we really a lot of us thought, hey, this is going to be a tough fight, but he should be able to win. A lot of fight fans were leaning towards, you know, Sam Peter's going to be able to take it. He didn't do that. Then he goes in with another softy, Gomez, I believe, right? And the same thing, another guy that was not game. Is he in his prime enough still to withhold and withstand a young warrior like Kristen Nightmare Oriella, or can Oriella be the nightmare for these Russian guys, you know? Let's go on with another caller real quick, man. We got a caller from 909. Go ahead and state your name, brother. Where are you calling from, and what is your thoughts about this fight?
Hey, what's good? It's Grind Shine. How's it going?
What's going on, Grind Shine?
Hey, nothing. Just chilling, man. Man, this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. I see both guys get knocked down. It's just that Klitschko's so big, it's like makes you question, can Chris hold up to him? But I think it's Chris Ariola's time, and I think he's going to bring the fight to him, and I think he's going to slug it out with him, and I see Klitschko getting knocked out.
Wow, cool. All right. Hey, well, you know what? You said Klitschko's a lot bigger. Hey, Dave. You know, you made nothing. You said, oh, you had the press kit. Do you have it in front of you? Could you read out the measurements for us so we can kind of know what is the difference between the both of these guys?
I don't have it right in front of me, but literally they are exact in terms of every measurement possible except for their height, which I think Klitschko has about 3 inches of height on Chris.
Over him,
that's
yeah.
It. Everything else is literally the same, off by maybe 2 inches on their waist, something like that.
Wow. Let's go with my boy Strikeheart. Strikeheart, what's going on, brother Justin? What's your thoughts about this fight? And the question I guess I got for everybody is, Vitaly in his prime still? Can we assume he's still in his prime? And can we assume he can keep a guy that throws a lot of heat off?
Yeah, I would say that as far as I can see, Vitaly Klitschko still, I wouldn't say he's in his prime just because I think he's a little bit slower than he had been in the past, but for the matter of this fight, that won't really matter, in my opinion. His foot speed really won't be an issue, because mm-hmm. I think Chris Ariola is going to be pressing the action anyway. The thing that I see happening in this fight is Vitaly Klitschko doing what both of the Klitschko brothers do a lot, which is control distance. People kind of think that they're not doing anything, but my voice is going. It's been a long week already.
Take your time.
All right, I got it. So they control the distance, and you know, through body movement, their shoulders and stuff. Sometimes when it looks like they're inactive, they're really just waiting for a moment to snap off, and they can catch and pitch. I think it's funny how people criticize the Klitschko's because they're like a much better version of Kelly Pavlik. They can catch and pitch punches at will. So I just think it's going to be really hard for Chris Ariola to get through to hit Vitaly Klitschko. I think he'll just pick off his punches, and at some point he'll land a flurry or one big shot, and it'll hurt him. And it'll be over soon after that. I see it being like a mid-round knockout for Klitschko.
You know, this is my concern with Chris, man, is that he's such a you know, he's a fighter that just comes forward and he'll weather the storm to land when he needs to land. My problem is that something that you want to do with a mountain that's like Everest? You know, that's not going to be moved at
right,
all.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, he kind of likes to feel out what the other person has for the first couple rounds, which would be a big mistake with Vitaly Klitschko. You don't want to sit there and see what he has.
Exactly.
To me, he's just not going to do enough moving around to give himself a chance to win the fight. He's going to get himself caught at some point, and it's not going to be pretty because obviously we all know Vitaly Klitschko has knockout power, and his KO ratio is insane for a heavyweight. So,
and another thing too about Vitaly is that he's a good executor. He will take you out.
If he smells blood, that's the end of the fight. So if you are hurt with Vitaly Klitschko, you better act like you're not, because he'll come and finish you off. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that the inexperience on Chris Ariola's part, like everybody else has said, he needed a few more big fights. Jamil McClain, to me, doesn't show that you're ready for this big of a step. And I think the American audience in general just doesn't give the European heavyweight fighters enough credit. It's a style that we're not used to, but it doesn't mean it isn't effective.
Exactly. And I think that's what it is that, and that's why some folks might think, hey, you know what? But you know, I'm going to say this. You know, Grindshine just said a little while ago he's rooting, he's going with Chris, and there's a possibility. And I kind of have to agree with him. There is that very slight possibility that he
right.
can knock him out. You know, because we can't forget this is the heavyweights. Anything
right.
can happen mm-hmm. in the heavyweights.
The one good thing
you know?
That he has going for him too is that he has a big repertoire of punches that he can throw. I mean, he isn't limited to like a jab and a straight. He's got uppercuts and he has a few tricky punches in his bag of tricks. I just don't know if he'll get to a point where he can get into range to throw something like an uppercut.
This is my take about it. If Vitaly can get out of there, if he can weather the three rounds that is going to be coming at him with force, because see, that's my question. I know, you know, it's okay. This guy, you know, he's been in there with Lennox, and we saw what he did with Lennox. My question is, can he do that again? And a lot of times when you weigh down the years of stretch the way he has, your body's not the same. You know what I'm saying? And is he as hungry as what he was at that time when he fought Lennox Lewis? Because remember, he wanted Lennox very bad. Where that fight, he was the substitute in that fight. You know, he wasn't the original opponent. You know, he took that fight, you know, on call. And so is he going to be prepared for a guy like Chris Oriella, who we've seen plenty of fighters that don't have the greatest skills, but they got the greatest will. And when you got something like that, that you're determined, this is a dangerous guy. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what makes this fight so intriguing. You know, I mean, I'm pumped up about it. I want to see it. I just hope it doesn't turn out like a Nate Campbell and Bradley. You know what I mean? Well, I'm waiting and waiting, and then something happens, and it's like, shit.
No, I don't think either one of these guys would take an easy way out, regardless of the circumstance. To a detriment, I think both fighters would fight no matter what until somebody else stepped in on it. So I don't think that's going to happen for sure.
Absolutely. I hope not, man. You know, let's knock
shocked.
On wood. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I wouldn't be shocked because when you got two guys that are going to be coming forward, you know, I don't really see Vitaly taking a whole bunch of steps back, you know, to try to get away from punches. If he's game and these both guys are game, it's a possibility it could be a headbutt.
I know seeing Vitaly with that huge cut in the Lennox Lewis fight, I don't think he would stop himself from continuing in a fight.
I don't think he would stop himself. I don't think he would stop himself either. But it is in L.A.
Yeah, you got a point there.
It is in L.A., man. You know, we're gonna take a real quick break, guys, and because I'm gonna find out exactly how much longer it's gonna be before Juan the Babel Diaz calls in, and then we'll get back on the air. So hang tight, brothers, and listen to some beats. I don't know. What we got here? What do we got here, man? What do you guys feel like listening to? Old school? Oldies?
Old school.
Old school. Oh, shit. Okay. Here it goes. Here it goes, man. That's not old school.
That's back to old school.
That was old school hip-hop. You guys want to see? Listen to old school hip-hop?
A hand too deep.
Just put that back on, man. There you go, man. I'll give you some.
I'm not supposed to be a fool now. This I know. I just can't help myself, girl. I just can't let you go. Trying to get you back, and I'm not lying, baby. Oh, baby, I want you back. I want you back. Yeah, I need you, baby. I want you, baby. Oh, my love. not the case.
Okay,
then explain your action. God knows I've been trying to get you back, and I'm not jiving.
All right, man, we're back and stuff. I'm pretty sure we got Juan the Baby Bull Diaz on the line. I'm going to check real quick, guys. Juan, are you in there, brother?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
What's going on, brother? We're over here listening to some oldies but goodies and stuff. We had a quick break over here on the radio show.
Okay, yeah, I'm doing great. I'm feeling excited, well-rested right now since I don't have class anymore.
Is that right, man? You were back in school for a minute, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm out of school now. I graduated in May.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I got the press release on that, man. Well, congratulations, brother.
Dang, thanks so, a lot, man. Yeah, I'm all done.
So how's the weather over there, first off, bro? And are you training in the hometown or no? You're out of there.
Yeah, I'm training here in the hometown. Well, actually, today it actually rained, man. We needed some good, much-needed rain. Temperature here has been crazy, man, just hot.
Is that right? Damn.
Yeah,
I know. We need
to see all the humidity, man. The humidity's been what kills us down here.
I heard that, bro. Over here in Cali right now, the same thing. We need some rain. It's been pretty blazing. You know, it's hot right now. Actually, I'm in the office here and doing the show, and I'm sweating like a dog right now, bro. So first,
yeah.
Man, it's oh man, I'm sweating up right now, brother. Sweating up right
yeah.
now, you know.
Yeah. I feel you, man. I feel you.
You know, hey, so, you know, the last time, brother, obviously it didn't, you know, sway your way, right? You know, but it was a war. It was a war to remember. I mean, but in all honesty, what did you learn from that fight, in your opinion?
Well, I know that, you know, when I learned, the first thing that I learned was about the cuts, man. It's the second time that happens to me, and the first time when I fought Campbell, I got defensive. I got a little defensive because I got cut. It was the first time I got cut really bad like that. And then this time around, I said, man, the heck with it, you know. I didn't care about the cut, so it didn't bother. I went in there and squared up and didn't keep my hands up, which caused me the fight, man. And in all realities, what opened up the punches for Marcus, it landed some good combinations, and that's one of the mistakes I committed, is that instead of waiting from my corner to take care of the cut and being smart out there. You see my jab move, head movement. I just went in there and said, man, the heck with that. I'm just going to punch.
You just, so in other words, you let your emotions take the best of you in that fight, at the end of that fight. Getting that cut, you just said, that's it. I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to go for broke.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did, man. I said, I'm not gonna resort back to my fight in Cancun when I was getting defensive. I got defensive minded, and you know, I couldn't see. I was like, man, just gonna use a lot of defense. Well, this time around, I said, no, I'm not here to run around or play a defensive or fight a defensive fight. I'm gonna fight. So that's what I think, but I believe caused me the fight.
You know, looking back at that fight, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've had a chance to watch that fight, you know. How long did it take you, though, bro, to really go, you know what, I want to watch it. I want to see what happened. What were my mistakes? And getting a chance, did you fall in as a fight fan yourself, or did you fall in and go like, damn, I could have done this. Damn, I could have done that.
Well, at first, man, I saw the night, I mean, the morning right after the fight, I woke up and I saw the fight because everybody was calling me and how excited they were and, you know, that unfortunately things didn't go my way, but they were just so excited of what a fight I put up, what a great fight I put up. So I put it in, and at first I saw it as a fan because I always wanted to see myself in that type of fight, you know, one of those classic battles. But then I started looking back, and that same morning I said, man, you know, I went in there and my whole strategy for that fight was to throw a lot of punches, you know. It was just a matter of throwing a lot of punches from start to finish, and that's where I committed my biggest mistake, was that I went in there just to volume, man. I was thinking volume instead of thinking strategy and being smart.
But, you know, in a lot of ways, that volume was really leaning your way. I mean, I was seeing you really pressuring Marquez to do something he normally doesn't like to do, which is start to trade a lot. You know, I saw the pace was at something that you enjoy a lot, you know. Right. And having those first couple successful rounds in the beginning, did you feel, hey, you know what, this is a little bit easier than what I thought it was going to be? Or were you anticipating this guy's going to adjust to me and I'm going to have to try to pick it up even a little bit more?
No, I actually, you know, at the beginning, I would say the first, my strategy worked for the first 3 or 4 rounds. I think that was a perfect strategy. But then I should resort it back to my boxing, using my jab and being smart. But that's also one of the things why I didn't change it. Because I was in there and from the first round, after the first round, I said, oh, man, this, you know, I did not respect his punching power. I said, man, I can't even feel his punches. You know, so in my mind, I was saying to myself, man, I'm just going to walk in there and just show him that I'm the bigger guy, the stronger guy. And that was my mistake from the beginning.
When did you start feeling his punches? Because right now you said, you know, first round you didn't feel them, but when did the punches take effect, or did it just creep up so fast that the next thing you knew it, you were down?
Yeah, I think it just crept up on me. I never felt him, you know. In one of the rounds he stunned me a little bit. I got wobbled a little bit, but you know, I came back and I was like, all right, you know, this is nothing. And it just caught me off surprise, man. I guess my mentality that night was I wasn't going to lose that night. And I think that's the mentality that when I went in there is what prevented me and stopped me from feeling anything that night. I just couldn't feel his punching power. I thought that night it was my night.
How long, brother? I mean, when you, after this fight happened, how long did it take you to get back into the gym and start working on your craft?
Well, it didn't take me long. I was begging my manager that I wanted a rematch, that, you know, I wanted to get back in the ring, even if it wasn't a rematch. I was ready to get on in the ring man, after a few weeks, I was ready to get in. And that's because my mentality as a boxer is that, all right, I'm going to get hit and I'm going to get knocked down, I'm going to get cut, but that's just the way the game is. You know, a lot of times my manager even told me, he said he was a little nervous to see me in the ring again because he didn't know how I was going to react. But I told him, look, you know, this is a game, this is a sport where you get hit, I'm going to get cut, I'm going to get knocked down, and I mean, there's no point of letting it get to me psychologically, because I came in this sport knowing all of these factors. So I don't think that I didn't let any of that affect me, because I know what's going to happen. I know the risk that are involved in the sport.
Man, yeah, I mean, you know, just by talking to you, I could tell, you know, it seems to me you got a whole grasp of what the whole take about the fight game is about. And I think that's a lot of, I guess you could say, being humble about your part. You know, you understanding, say, yeah, there's going to be some situations I'm not going to be ahead, and there's going to be some situations I am and stuff, you know. You got Paulie Malignaggi next, the magic man. You expecting any magic from this guy, and has he done his famous trash talking to you yet?
Well, I mean, the only thing I expect from him is to talk a lot of trash, talk a lot, but I don't expect any magic on come August 22nd, because all the magic that's going to be happening that night is me. You know, I'm gonna come back stronger than ever and show everybody I have some magic of my own.
Now, when you say you're gonna come back stronger than ever, Juan, are you aiming to? I mean, because it's gonna be right there again in front of the home crowd. You know, the Tejanos are gonna be out there. They're gonna be rooting for you. So you're looking to gun at this guy and just take him out, make it an early job, or you're looking to get in the round again, fill it out, make sure, hey, the spirit hasn't left completely out of the ring. I still got it. To prove to even like to your manager being a little concerned. You want to kind of show everybody, hey, don't worry about it. I'm still here. I haven't left.
Yeah, definitely. I'm and it's no secret. I start fast, and when the bell rings that night, August 22nd, everybody's gonna see that I'm still the same, and I'm gonna put it right on Paul Malignaggi that night, from round one to whatever round the fight ends. If it ends early, if it ends in the 12th round, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna come out blazing. And there's nothing he's going to be able to do about it.
Anything that the New Yorker has said so far, man, to get underneath your skin? I mean, is there anything that has made you, grind the teeth a little bit and go like, okay, bro, I'm gonna show you?
Not at all, because this is what makes boxing entertaining at some point, man. At some point, you gotta have the bad guy and the good guy, you know? And just like in the movies, if there wasn't a bad guy to make it exciting and make the movie worthwhile, then nobody will watch movies. So I think that this plays perfect into the whole marketing and the advertisement strategy. You have a guy who's coming from New York thinking he's going to beat the hometown guy, me from Houston, and it just makes it exciting and entertaining for the fans. But nothing that he has said has really bothered me, because I know that a lot of guys that talk a lot of trash, you know, they have to live up to whatever they say in the ring that night.
Right. And he's going to be fighting a guy that it's going to be future mayor, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, in the future, the possibilities are endless now. One thing that I am glad is that, you know, I step into this fight knowing that I don't have anything to lose and everything to gain. I have my career already. I've been a four-time world champion, so now it's just about making a statement, leaving a mark in boxing.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to open up the panel real quick, Juan, and let a couple of fight fans that are, you know, anticipating asking you some questions real quick. Let's go with Chris, 916 out of Sacramento. Go ahead, brother, and ask Juan the Baby Bull Diaz a question.
Hey, Juan, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good. First off, I just want to say, you know, I know I'm supposed to be a bit objective, but
I'm a big fan of yours. You know, not only your fighting style, but I really respect the way you carry yourself outside of the ring.
Thank you very much.
No problem, man. In regards to, you know, the fight with Marquez, you said you went back and watched it. There was a point, I think it was in the first round where you heard him. When you went back and watched that, did you, like, see that? Do you know what I'm talking about? And if so, did you see that and think of, like, I wish I would have done something different at that exact moment?
Well, actually, it was, I heard him early on. It was in the second round. And the only thing that I have been working on is the fact that sometimes I hurt the guys and I jump right on them. And I just throw a whole bunch of punches, not really being precise. So I have been working on that and staying a little bit calm and focusing and really landing the punches. And maybe if I could have calmed down a little bit that night and really sat down on my punch instead of jumping right on them, I think maybe I could have done a little bit more damage.
Right. I have one more quick question. You know, I've heard people say guys with styles like yours is kind of hyper-aggressive, like yourself and a Ricky Hatton, for example. They say those guys' careers don't last as long, you know, just because the style wears on you. I'm just curious, what do you think about that? Do you think that's true, and, like, have you felt the difference in your body over the years?
Well, right now I'm 25 years old, so I don't really feel any change except me getting a little bit stronger every year that I mature and I get a little bit older. But, you know, that's what experts say, and I'm not willing to test that theory out because I do plan on eventually quitting boxing. I'm giving myself 3 to 4 good years of hard work and to continue to be successful in this sport.
All right, cool. Thanks.
You're
welcome. Hey, Juan, you know what? I got another question for you and stuff, you know, because, you know, from the past years, we've seen your family very involved in this, okay? And this fight here, your mom, you know, and we've seen your mom. She doesn't like watching you fight. And seeing you get in there with Marquez, you know, she never came up to you and said, mijo, mira, hey, that's it. No more.
Yeah, she, well, now, she used to do that before when I was younger. But now, she's just like, are you sure you still want to do this? I'm like, yes, mom. And you know, she made me promise to her that, you know, 3-4 years from now, I'm gonna give it up and concentrate on my studies or whatever I'm doing at that point in my life. And I told her, yes, you know, I understand because I want to be able to grow up and communicate with all of you all and not be able to stutter and not remember what I did yesterday or whatnot. So yeah, I'm definitely thinking for the future and not just in the sport, but in my life.
Absolutely. Chris, I know you had another question for him. You know, you had to call me up. We talked about it. Do you want to ask that question still?
Yeah, I was going to save it till the end, but I'll just hit him with it now. You know, Juan, I mean, I'm sure if I asked you, you probably would say you wouldn't change anything, you know, that you've done so far at this point in your career. You know, and that's understandable, but do you ever think if you would have focused just singularly on either academics or boxing, that you could have excelled more in either one of those areas if you had chose to do so?
No, I think that, you know, that's an interesting question because I thought about that before, and I think that taking away like this training camp and everything I've learned by not going to school, you know, I think that it would have made me a little bit more lazier if I shouldn't have gone to school. But I think that as far as me becoming a world champion and being as successful as I did, I don't think that I would have been able to do neither one of those without each other. Because maybe I would have became a world champion because, you know, God gave me this talent to work hard, and he let me become a world champion. But one thing that I do believe is that in my academics, I think that by now at 25, you know, I went through school fairly easy, and I was talking to my brother about this. It was fairly easy for me to graduate from middle school, high school, and college. the schools that really count. And while doing the boxing, so I think that if I was in boxing at this point in my career, I would have maybe been in law school or have been a lawyer already. But since I was boxing, I had to concentrate on both. But I think that that's the only difference, that maybe it would have been different, that I might have graduated from college faster and maybe would have been in law school, would have been a lawyer already.
Let's go with David Chen. Go ahead, brother. Ask your question to Juan the Baby Bull Diaz, brother.
Well, Juan, I want to give you a personal congratulations for graduating and doing your thing in boxing. I know how hard that must be. I'm in school myself, so I just wanted to give you props for that.
Thanks, David. Yeah, man, so you're doing the four-year college?
Yeah, I'm studying to be a teacher right now. I'm in history and all that good stuff.
Okay, cool, man. Yeah, I know how hard it is with those midterms and all those term papers, so, yeah, man, keep it up. It's a pain in the butt sometimes, but, you know, it's all worth it in the end.
Wait, I have a quick question at first. What do you do when you have a test coming up and you say, nah, guys, I got to fight Marquez?
Man, you know, I think I got fortunate that we fought in February, so the classes were just starting, but I have had exams and papers come up in the past like that when I had big fights on HBO or Showtime, but the teachers have been able to work with me, man. They've been they used to tell me, look, you know, you could take the test before or after. Of course, I would always do it afterwards. You know, afterwards I would try to call some of my buddies. Hey, man, what question was on the test or whatnot? But they never worked because they always used to have a special test for me. They used to change it up. But yeah, they would give me extra time to complete the assignments.
Iguan, how do you balance? I mean, that's, you know, speaking about the school, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, are you in a committed relationship, or do you got the guys? Are they calling you up too, and you're trying to balance everything out—the boxing, the women, you know, the running, and then school? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, I mean, I was, man, the boxing and the school is number one for me, man. I was in a committed relationship, not anymore, because I know that right now boxing in school. Well, I already graduated from school, but boxing is my number one love, man. I have a lot of love for boxing, and I think that that's what's been able to keep me on track as far as, you know, not falling in love and going crazy over a woman or getting out of school. I think that that's what's, you know, boxing has always been my number one love and kept me on the straight arrow.
Man, more power to you, brother. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead and ask your question, man.
Now, Juan, I really love your fight with Marquez. I think that's the most exciting fight I've seen this year. Now, you said earlier that your strategy going into the fight was just you were going to throw volume punches and not really think about strategy. But I noticed you doing some things very well. Like, I know that you knew he was a counter puncher, so I saw you getting low, staying low, and kind of not giving him any chances in the middle of the ring in the first few rounds and push him to the corners and then letting your hands go, and it was really working. You won practically 5 out of the 6 first rounds. Is that something you had in your mind, or is that just something that kind of came to you naturally in the ring? You know, how did you go about that fight? And also, real quick, having been in the ring with Marquez, what are the things he's good at, and what are the things he's bad at, in your opinion?
Well, I think that my strategy from the beginning was I know that he's a great counter puncher, and I said, well, you know, if he's such a great counterpuncher, then I want to see how much he can counterpunch all my punches. So that, my strategy was to go in there and my strategy was not to give him that opportunity to counterpunch me. And if he did, it wasn't going to be as much as he normally does. But what I found out is that, you know, in the first few rounds, he wasn't able to maintain the pace with me. I was beating him to the punch, but, you know, he's real smart. He stayed calm and under control, and which gave him the victory. He was able to sit there, and especially my mistake was, I see my other mistakes, was that he was going to the ropes. You know, the ropes were helping him rest a little bit, and I was coming in squaring up, not you know, side by side. Instead of coming in an angle, I was squaring up and giving them open shots.
We're gonna move. Let's go with Carlitos from Minnesota. Go ahead and ask your question, Juan the Baby Bull Diaz, brother.
Yeah, first of all, Juan, I just got to say that I had respect before that Marquez fight, but me and a couple guys watched it. You just earned our respect even more after that fight, the way you fought in that fight. So I just want to say that right away.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, of course, man. And I got two quick questions for you. What's it like fighting in front of your home crowd? And when it's all said and done, 3-4 years, whenever it happens and you actually retire, what do you want the fans to remember you by? What when they say your name, Juan Diaz, what do you want fans to say about you?
Well, man, that is why, you know, now my biggest thing that I'm working for, my objective for these next few years is to say, I want the fans to say Juan the Baby Bull Diaz was one of those fighters that it didn't matter who he fought. He went in there, gave it 100%, and made it a fight. You know, like, for example, you think of the great fighters like, you know, Muhammad Ali. Oh, right away you think he's a great fighter who took a lot of punches, was a great boxer. Then you look at Mike Tyson, the one knockout artist, you know, one knockout punch artist. And, you know, and me, I want them to say, man, he had the Juan Baby Bull Diaz had the heart of a lion. It didn't matter who he was facing, he would make it a fight. He wouldn't back down from nobody. That's what I want the fans to remember me by.
Yeah, and what about what's it like? It's got to be great to fight in front of your home crowd, man. I mean, that place is just jumping when you fight there. What's that like?
Oh yes, yeah, it's electrifying, man. It's one of those feelings that you only get, you know, when you accomplish something big in your life. Just to be there, and have all those people showing me love and support is, you know, I get when I'm in the ring and they announce my name. I know it's like I have another guy across the ring staring me down, ready to knock my head off. But at that little moment when they announce my name, I get goosebumps all over my body. And I just, it's like a quick flash of when I was a little boy and I used to sit down and watch the Julio Cesar Chavez fights with my dad. And I used to see it from TV and how those people at the arena, whether it was in Vegas or anywhere else, how much they were screaming for him. And I just sit there for that split second and think, wow, you know, I'm here. This is me. So it's just, it's a great feeling just to be in there in front of my home here in Houston, in front of my hometown fans.
Nice. Thanks a lot. And we got Juan the Baby Bull Diaz on the line with us with Leaving in the Ring. We got his fight coming up with Paulie Malignaggi. All right, let's go with Justin Strikehart, brother. Go ahead from Pennsylvania. Go ahead and ask a question of Juan the Baby Bull Diaz.
Sure. Let me clear my throat. My voice is going a little bit, so I don't want to cut out here. All right. I think I got it. All right, so back a few years ago, some of my questions have already been answered, at least to some degree. But Julio Diaz, if everybody remembers, was pretty vocal about saying how he felt like you were a little bit disrespectful to boxing and that you didn't take it seriously enough and that he was going to punish you for basically saying that it was like a hobby and school was your main focus. Is that something that you have come across on more than just that occasion? I mean, for the most part, people seem pretty excited about the fact that you've graduated college and your success there. But how often do you come across an attitude like what you got from Julio Diaz?
Well, man, I come across those attitudes from people that don't believe in a higher education, man, or people that have never passed a high school diploma or never even graduated from high school. I get those type of reactions even here in Houston from, for example, guys that have their kids in boxing, that's all they teach them is boxing, 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 and nothing else. They say, well, you know, I think that if you should have just done boxing, you would have been a way better fighter than what you are now. And I tell them, well, you know, this is my response to them. I tell them, okay, yeah, maybe I would have been a better fighter. Maybe I wouldn't have. But all I know is that right now I can go to the city of Houston and apply. I actually was called in for this job. I can go and apply and start making $60,000 a year because I have my degree, you know. And
right,
other fighter who does not have his education. Well, I mean, if he doesn't fight but once or twice a year, then that's all he has to rely on. So this is what I tell him, and I give him that example.
Okay, fair enough. And you've answered a lot of my other questions, like how you feel about if you had just done boxing and stuff like that. So I'll go over the other questions I had and just ask you, you've said that you're just going to spend a few more years. I can only assume that you're going to spend those years at 140. Outside of Manny Pacquiao, who I think just about everybody, especially at that weight, would like to fight, who's the one guy you would like to fight after Malignaggi?
Well, there's a lot of guys right now at the super lightweight and even lightweight, because, you know, I feel comfortable enough. I'm moving up in weight because I felt that Paul Malignaggi, I told my manager, look, I fought a great fight. I'm 25 years old. I don't want to take a tune-up. I don't want to take a step down. And of course, we all know that Paul Malignaggi is not taking a step down. He's right there with all the great fighters. So what I'm looking at is just fighting the biggest names out there, whether it's at lightweight, because I can still make lightweight comfortably, or 140. It doesn't matter who I fight.
In that case, is like Edwin Valero somebody you would like to fight?
Yes, if they were to set up the fight, you know, it all depends on the promoters and the managers. I'm a guy that has already became a four-time world champion. You know, I accomplished a lot in the ring. Now, like I said, I want to leave my mark in boxing. I don't want to dodge anybody. I want to fight the best fighters out there. And if the fights come about, then I'm willing to take them and fight them.
Fair enough. Thanks for your time, man.
You're welcome.
Juan, you know, 140, you know, obviously you got, you know, a lot of pick out of that. And even at 135, I was reading the interview you did with one of our writers, and you had said you still make 135 very comfortably. Is this something you plan to do, is fluctuate, go back to 135, or you know, just campaign strictly at 140?
No, it all depends on what my manager decides, or my promoter, Golden Boy. If they decide that the best fights are at 140, then I'll stay at 140. And if they require me to come down at lightweight, then I'll come down, back down to lightweight.
Now, you did mention that you said, you know, immediately after, you're like, I want the rematch with Marquez. Now you see him going after Money Mayweather. What did you take about that fight? Are you hoping he wins that fight? And if he does, are you hoping that he's going to give you a rematch? Has Golden Boy mentioned a possible rematch with him? Or are Golden Boy right now being skeptical about you at this moment?
Well, at this point, they not even after the fight, they never mentioned a rematch, because I guess their whole strategy was the winner out of me and Marquez was going to fight Mayweather. So they never mentioned a possible rematch. So then, and now they're just focused on me getting back to the top, and whatever the outcome is from the September 19th fight against Marquez and Mayweather, I definitely would like my shot at Marquez, because, you know, he's the only guy that I've been stopped by and that I lost completely to. And so I feel that, you know, I need to get back at him.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if you saw that, but I'm pretty sure you did. Nate Campbell, the guy that beat you the first time, got in there with Timothy Bradley and gets a headbutt, and his reaction, you know, and you know, should have been considered a no contest because of the headbutt and stuff, but, you know, with some confusion in the ring. is that a guy right now, even though, you know, he looked a little old in the ring in those three rounds, is that a guy still that is still in your mind a little bit where you kind of want to mix it up, and maybe that's why you moved up to 140?
Man, Nate Campbell was in my radar, but not anymore, man, because it's what he did in the ring, I believe it's a disgrace to boxing. I think that, you know, you're in there to fight. You're not in there to quit. And unfortunately, yes, it was a controversial win for Timothy Bradley because the headbutt, and I can understand that. But it wasn't up to him. It wasn't up to Nate Campbell to stop the fight. He just straight up just quit. He got to the corner and said, he should have just said, I want to quit. I don't want to fight no more. Instead of crying about the headbutt or whatnot. I mean, we're in there to fight. We get paid to fight, not to judge or make our own judgment as to what the referee should have called or whatnot. So I think that, you know, that was just not right what he did. He should have let the doctor at least call it a headbutt.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like that, you know. I'm going to let a couple more calls, Juan, and I know you got, you know, it's late over there, and we had you on for some time. You know, I don't want to keep you on too long where you're not going to want to come back on the show with us. So I'll let a few more.
Guys, I don't have – man, I'm over here. I'm telling you one thing that I have learned now that I graduated is that it sure is boring staying at home during training camp, man.
You know, I heard that.
It's the last week of the hard training, and you know, it's funny, man, because I'm getting restless. I sparred, I think it was 7 rounds today with 3 different guys. I came home and I still had a lot of energy, man, and I was like, I actually miss going in there and conversating with people and talking to seeing different faces, man. It's getting a little boring just being here at home watching movies and playing video games.
Hey, speaking of playing video games, man, you know, us, all of us guys on Leaving the Ring on the panel, we've been playing Round 4, man. Have you had a little dabble with that or nah?
Nah, I haven't really played that game. And actually, man, it's funny because I don't even play a lot of sport games. Like, I have a friend of mine or my brother that want to play Madden or 09 or they want to play some other game, but I'm actually more of an action type of guy. You know, I like those war games like the Call of Duty or I like.
Oh yeah.
Since I like fishing, you know, and I can't go fishing right now, I buy me a little fishing game on the Wii so I can practice my fishing.
Yeah, you know that Wii though, man. I don't know about that Wii. I get a little winded with that, man, real quick and stuff. So I'll stay away from the Wii. Let's go with Rob Riller, man, out of Puerto Rico. Rob Riller, go ahead and ask your question to Juan the Baby Bull Diaz, bro.
Hey, man. I just want to say first off, you know, I'm gonna be honest. I wasn't the biggest fan, but I got a lot of respect for you since watching the Marquez bout, and I felt a little bit proud of you because you know, you really showed a lot of heart and. You know, I just want to say that I gained a lot of respect from you for that. And anyway, that I just wanted to ask. Back to the Paulie Malignaggi fight. Are you gonna shade away from your old style like most guys do when they lose? They shade away from their old style. They feel like there's something wrong with it. And you know, they sort of like just change. They make a subtle change, but it actually becomes a big factor in the fight where it's not really subtle. And it actually costed them the fight. Are you going to, you know, not be as aggressive, or are you going to smother him, put him on the ropes, you know, not let him breathe, and just be the old Juan Diaz that I think could be Malignaggi?
Well, I'm definitely not going to change my style because that's what has made me a champion. You know, like I was saying earlier, a lot of guys, they change their style because they, you know, they have some type of fear that whatever they did in their last fight didn't work. But, man, my style has won me several amateur titles, a lot of amateur titles, 4 world titles. So I think that night wasn't my night in my last fight. So I'm going to keep doing what has made me successful and what has made me the boxer that I am today. And I've been working on being aggressive, being the old Juan Diaz. Actually, you know, a lot of people say the old Juan Diaz, but I don't think that's going to be the case. It's just going to be the same old me, just going in there, having fun, attacking the guy, and with just with relentless pressure.
Once again, guys, if you're just tuning in, we got Juan the Baby Bull Diaz chopping it up with us on Leaving in the Ring. He's talking about, you know, his upcoming fight with Paulo Malignaggi. Let's go with area code 760. Go ahead, brother. State your name and ask your question to Juan the Baby Bull Diaz.
What's up, Baby Bull? My name is Red. They call me Big Red.
What's up, Red?
What's up, man? Hey, I'm a big fan of yours, so I hope this question doesn't come out wrong. Going to a lot of fights, boxing matches, and talking to a lot of boxing fans, when your fight comes up, there's not really too many people that are really too excited about the matchup and the style of the fights. But the thing that always comes up is everybody's always wondering how the Baby Bull's gonna come back, you know, if you have any lasting effects from the Marquez fight. So my question to you is, do you have is there any added pressure on how you beat Malignaggi? I mean, do you feel like people expect you to knock him out, outbox him, take him out early? And if you do, does that bring any extra pressure to you when you go into the fight?
No, when not at all. There's no pressure because, you know, everything that I train for and I work for is just to prove it to myself that I still have it. You know, because when I go in there and train, you know, I want to go in there and train and fight because I still love the sport, because I want to be in here for the next 3 or 4 years and be on top. So every time I go out, I do my best because I love this sport and I'm not ready to give it up yet. So, you know, a lot of people, when people tell me that they expect me to knock this guy out or win or it's going to be an easy fight, I don't see it as added pressure, or I don't take their word for it, because boxing is a crazy sport, man. I mean, you know, in my last fight against Marquez, I was sure and positive 100% that, you know, that night he was not going to beat me. And the outcome was different, but, you know, you win some and you lose some.
Right. And then one other thing, touching on the comment where you had said Malignaggi wasn't, you know, it's not kind of like taking a step down. What do you really feel from the caliber of fighter that you are? What kind of threats do you think Malignaggi has going in the ring to you? I mean, his last couple of fights, he really didn't look too great. So what is it that you're training for, that, you know, that you're trying to make sure that you go in there and you're prepared for?
Well, one thing that I make sure and look at my fighters is what their strengths are, man. And I've seen Paul Malignaggi in a few fights. His strength is his movement around the ring and his speed. You know, if you let him outpoint you, he's going to get – if I let him one point outpoint me or let off a combination of 3-4 punches, then he's going to get confident. And, well, confidence is a big factor when you're in that ring, man. If you feel confident enough, then nobody's going to stop you that night. So what my game plan is to go in there early and take his confidence away, because – that's the only thing that's bothering me right now, is that from round one when the bell rings, I cannot let him outpunch me or let him out throw any type of combination, because if he gets the confidence, he will do that all night and he will outpoint me and beat me. So I'm not going to let that happen.
All right, thank you very much, Baby Bull. It's a pleasure speaking with you. Good luck on the fight, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate the support.
Hey, Red, you know, before you hang up and all that, I got a quick question for you. How much caffeine did you have today?
Hey, I'm starstruck, baby. I'm starstruck. That's what I'm
doing. I know. I'm even surprised, Juan. I was surprised you caught everything he said, because this guy was going so fast. I was like, I was catching bits and pieces every third word, you know?
I just drank like 4 jaritos, a piña, so, you know, I'm a little hyper.
We're going to have to do the machine. We have to call you Big Machine Gun.
Next time I'm in the ring, man, make sure and listen to my second trainer. I have two, Ronnie Shields and Derwin Richards. Man, Derwin Richards, man, he talks. He's like, man, like a machine gun, man. Just like 100 words a second, man. So maybe that's what I'm used to.
Probably, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, because, I mean, I've heard some fast talkers, and Red, you're up there, brother, you know, like, my dad's from Texas, from Eagle Pass, Texas, so when my dad speaks Spanish, dude, it's like, damn, dude, slow down, man, he's like, you know?
Hey, I used to sell cars, too, so that helps, you know?
I'm giving you a hard time, Big Red, brother. Thanks, man, for calling in and stuff. Hey, Juan, you know, when you go back on your camp and you're watching Paulie Malignaggi, are you what tape are you watching? Do you watch him when he fought Miguel Cotto, or do you watch him when he fought Ricky Hatton? And are you going to use some of the strategy if you're watching the one with Ricky Hatton? Are you going to use some of the strategies that Ricky kind of used in that fight to stop a Paulie Malignaggi?
Well, I'm actually reviewing three fights, man. It's the one when he fought Cotto, the one when he fought Ricky Hatton, and his last fight. I forget the guy's name, man. In his last fight a couple of months ago, right after Ricky Hatton, he fought this guy. I believe it was in Connecticut, if I'm not mistaken. But from Ricky Hatton and Cotto, with Cotto, he was boxed a little bit, was sitting down a little bit more. And then against Ricky Hatton, he sat down a lot, man. He was, you know, he didn't run as much. But in his last fight, he said that he was going back to his amateur coach and his old style. So in his last fight, he did a lot more movement and a lot more boxing. He threw a little bit more combinations than he did against Ricky Hatton. Ricky Hatton, if you see, he wasn't moving as much. So I'm really focusing on his last fight. And his last opponent didn't pressure at all, you know, was just a target, man. So, you know, I'm right. Going by that last fight is that he's going to move, use his combinations, and he's not going to let me get near him like he did Ricky Hatton.
You know, I mean, right. Speaking, you know, this guy is a southpaw, is a cutie in the ring, you know, and you're right. He's the kind of guy that if you allow him to establish the ring generalship, he'll take over. So who are the key factors in your sparring team that you're using at this moment to you know, make sure that this lefty is not going to be a problem for you?
Well, actually, he's not a lefty. He's a conventional fighter. So, but, you know, I brought in three guys from one from California, Dominique Saucedo, David Torres from Chicago, and then Rashad, I forget his last name, man, but he's from Arkansas, and they all bring different styles, man. They move, they stay in there toe-to-toe with me, because with the fighters, you never know what they're going to bring that night. You know, so Malignaggi might think that I'm the smaller guy, that he can stand there toe-to-toe with me and fight me. So I'm not just going by his last fight and really focusing. I'm focusing on him moving and running and punching, but I'm also working for the fact that he might sit there and try to trade with me. So I have three different guys who come in the gym and in the ring and spar with me and give me different looks.
I don't know why I always think that he's a lefty, man. For some reason, I'm always stuck that he's a lefty, and I know you're right. He's not a lefty. I guess it's the magic right there, you know what I mean? It's blind my eyes and stuff, brother.
It's already working, huh? It's working towards all the way across the country.
Exactly, man. You know, before I let you go, brother, I got one name for you. I'd like to hear about your thoughts, you know. And this guy had his night, you know, which we talked about, and it did come out a little controversial, but I want to know what your thoughts about him and if there's a possible matchup down the line with him. Mr. Timothy Bradley, the Desert Storm.
Oh, man, Timothy Bradley is, from what I've seen, a great fighter, man. He has all the tools to stay champion for a long time. Got a lot of respect for him. He looks like a very humble guy. And I fought him twice in the amateurs, man, because I believe we were 15 or 16 years old when we fought. And I remember it was in the Cincinnati Golden Gloves. We fought there. It was a hell of a fight because, as you can see, he's a hell of a fighter. And I believe that, you know, he's a force to be reckoned with at 140 pounds. And, Yeah, if my next fight after Paul Malignaggi happened to be against Timothy Bradley, then I'll be glad and I'll be honored. And like I said, I'm not going to back down from anybody. Whoever they want to put me in the ring with, that's who I'm going to step in there and fight.
It, those two amateurs, did they sway your way, or was it, half and half, or did he take them?
No, the two amateur fights that we fought, I beat him in both of the fights, so it was in my favor.
Oh, man. Is there any amateur guys right now in the game that is a recognized name, but is not in your division, and is a little surprising that this guy got a little bit bigger and taller, you know, from the amateurs that you know of right now?
Yeah, I fought, Berto. I fought Berto as well, but he got big, a lot. He's 147, so I fought Berto too, and I remember fighting him in the POW in Florida, and I actually beat Berto too in a unanimous decision down in Florida in the POWs.
Damn. So I'd like to see that tape.
I got a pretty good resume, man, as far as my amateur background and the guys I fought. And you know, it gives me a great sense of pleasure to see all the guys that I fought in amateur become world champions and world-class fighters. That means that I was in there with the best, and I had a great amateur career, and now I'm glad that we're all doing great things as professionals as well.
Absolutely, brother, man. And I appreciate you coming on here with us and chopping it up with us on Leave It in the Ring. You know, before I let you go, you know, we're trying to get Juan Manuel Marquez on the show. Is there anything you would like to say to him in Spanish or in English, whatever the case is, to him? Maybe a message, hopefully a rematch or anything?
Well, you know, as a fellow Mexican, I just want to wish him the best of luck against Mayweather, Money May. I don't have no animosity or any anger towards him. You know, this is a sport. You win, you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. And I respect him for being 36 years old and still in the game at the top of his game. So, you know, I just want to wish him the best of luck, and that if destiny permits us, then I would love to have a rematch with him once again in the future.
That would be great, man. And my guys, my two co-hosts, Chris and Dave, they're on the panel. Before I let Juan, is there any last questions you guys want to ask of him before we let him go?
Chris?
Chris, you there?
Yeah, sorry, man. I have my phone on mute. You know, I have a question. It might take a minute to answer, if that's cool with you, Juan.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
All right, man. You know, I've been watching you since you first started. I remember they brought in you, Francisco Bajado, Rocky Juarez, and Jeff Lacy. You guys all started your careers around the same time on Showtime. And I remember they always pumped those guys up a little bit more because they had the Olympic background and whatnot. And they kind of discussed you as a young fighter, a good fighter. But they had more expectations, it seems like, out of those guys. I'm just curious, seeing where your career has gone compared to those guys, do you ever kind of think about that, like of what you've achieved? And do you keep an eye on those guys' careers since you all came in at around the same time?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I was glad. I didn't mind all the exposure that I was getting. I was actually glad to have had all the exposure I had, because in another world, in another time, especially the times that we're in today, I think I just came up at the perfect time, at the right moment, because those guys were Olympic stars, and me, man, I mean, I had a good amateur background, but the main events and Showtime didn't really know anything about me, so they just took a chance on me. So I was just glad to have all the attention that I was receiving at the time, because I knew that really wasn't my spot. I didn't earn a spot on. Well, actually, I did earn a spot on the Mexican Olympic team, but I wasn't able to. I didn't earn the opportunity to fight like they did in the Olympics. So I was just glad to have the exposure that I did, and now I do look back sometimes and I say, wow, those guys were meant to achieve great things, and they were talking about them like they were going to become great champions. And here I am, and I actually became the first world champion out of the 2000 Olympians. I didn't even go to Olympics, and I was the first one to become a world champion. So I look back and I say, wow, you know, sometimes you underestimate people, and, you know, it's like a needle in a haystack, man. You know, eventually it might take you a long time to find it, but, you know, once the cattle or the animals eat all the hay, it's going to be right there, man, sticking out. And I think that throughout the years, you know, this needle came out.
Yeah, I think so, brother. I think so, you know. Hey, you know, on the undercard, you're going to have a native out of my home, near my hometown, Robert the Ghost Guerrero, who's going to be fighting on the undercard. Hey, is there a possibility that the reason why they're putting them under your card, Golden Boy, is because they might want to mix you guys up in a match?
It could be, man. I haven't heard any talks about us fighting or ever fighting, but, you know, if that's the case, and, you know, he's going to be fighting for a world title that night, I would definitely be glad to fight for a world title again and become champion once again.
You know, Juan, before I let you go, man, you're a great guest. Every time I've interviewed you before, man, and we've chopped it up, and you've always been a really good dude and always willing to, you know, take the time and stuff. One of our listeners that was just on a little while ago, he's hitting me up on the chat room. He just wants to ask you one more question, brother, if that's cool. Red, go ahead.
And I'll just play, man.
I didn't get that one.
I'm gonna try to slow it down, man. I just had a quick question. Is your brother? Is he still fighting? I seen him fight at the Morongo, I think about a year ago, and you were in his corner. And I was just wondering if he still gets in there and if he still boxes.
No, not anymore, man. He doesn't fight anymore. He's just sticking with school and helping me out. We as a family decided that you know, he stays there, goes to the gym with me, and helps me out a lot. He helps me out a lot, man, with all the things that I do as far as getting ready for a fight. He's the number one guy to go to, man, that I can rely on and really trust him with all my training and with everything that I have to accomplish.
Right on. Thanks again, baby boy.
No problem, man.
This is your brother, Jose, Juan?
Yes, my brother, Jose. It's only two of us. He's my younger brother. He, you know, as a professional, he had 14 fights, one loss, and like five or six knockouts. So, you know, he got in there and mixed it up, but, you know, he doesn't do it anymore.
And you know what? I got to thank Jose, too, because he's the one that, you know, hooked this up for us to get you on the phone. And I really greatly appreciate it and stuff. He's a cool dude. I had a chance to chop it up with him, you know, for the times I did speak to him about getting you on the radio. So, Rob Villa, go ahead, brother. I know you want one more question. Then we got to let Juan the Bull off.
I just wanted to ask him, you know, because a lot of fighters don't speak on their nicknames. You're getting up there in age, man. You're not really going to be a baby in a few years. So are you still going to be called Baby Bull, or are you just going to want to change that nickname?
No, man, that's what I grew up with. You know, that's what I'm known by. I know I'm getting up in age, and I'm not going to be a baby anymore. But then again, you know, my boss, man, Oscar De La Hoya, he's not a boy anymore. And even to his
last
fight, he's considered the Golden Boy. So, you know, it's just something that it's not so much the actual meaning, like the literally meaning, what it is just like a definition, man. It's like who we are, how people recognize us. And I think that's the name when they say Baby Bull, they know it's me, Juan Diaz, whether I was younger a boy or now that I'm a man.
Juan, did you like that nickname given to you? I mean, when, you know, people start calling you the Baby Bull, did you accept it, or were you like, the Baby Bull?
Yeah, man, I accepted it right away, but, you know, I said to myself, man, I'm never going to have a fake name, man. I don't want, you know, when I became professional fighter, for my first four or five fights. I didn't even have a nickname. I said, no, just call me Juan Diaz. You know, that's it. But they just, I mean, my promoter, Main Events, you know, I remember it was Gary Shaw, and I give him that credit. He's the one that stuck it on me.
Yeah, Gary seems to stick everything on everybody, brother. All right, yeah. Well, man, I appreciate it, man, having you on the radio show. It was great. Can't wait to do it again. Best of luck with Paul Emanaji. Best of luck in everything else you're doing, man. You know, congratulate you on graduating in school, and just keep doing the positive things that you're doing, bro. It's much appreciated, especially, you know, for Raza, you know, it shows that, hey, we can do a lot more also, not just in the ring.
That's right, man, and I want to thank y'all guys for pumping up this fight. I want to invite all the fans all around the country to tune in August 22nd on HBO. It's going to be a great fight against myself and Paul Emanaji. And thanks a lot, guys. You all have a great night.
You too, brother. Thank you very much. And tell your brother I said thank you, too, you know, for getting you on, and it was a pleasure.
I'll let him know, man. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, brother. Okay, man, there it was, you know, Juan the Baby Bull Diaz, you know, got on the line, chopped it up with us, and talked about everything I think we all wanted to know, you know. It's always fun, you know. I can't. Chris, what do you think, brother?
Yo, man, I mean, I thought that was one of the best interviews we've had on by far, you know, because he answered everyone's questions. He was real cool about it. But my favorite part was him dishing Nate Campbell some of what Nate Campbell usually dishes out to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Rob Riddle liked that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, my boy Frank Hart. You know what I like about Juan Diaz, bro, is he's so, you know, he's so collective in what he does, you know, and he's positive. Which, you know, a lot of people, I think we had this argument a while back about the bad boy image and the humble image, and we left out the guys that really, you know, being humble is one thing, but the guys that kind of go to the same struggles, like, you know, we got, you know, you have David Chen that's going to school, you know, and then balancing out life at the same time to get this education that he needs in order to prosper in life. And you see this kid that did the same exact thing and was balancing everything that was around him to make sure that he was able to support his, you know, his family or his future family, you know. So I like that a lot. I really respect that, you know, he was able to accomplish that and stuff. Any last thoughts on the Juan the Baby Bull Diaz, Carlitos?
Yeah, man, that was a really good interview. I like him a lot. He gives real full answers, too. You know, he's real detailed. You don't even have to really follow up on him for a question. He just seems like you said, a humble guy, but he is who he is. And even when he's going to express his opinion, too, even if maybe someone will say something against it, like you said with the Campbell. So, yeah, I've always been a fan of him. And like I said, after that fight, it was the thing – The thing he said after, he said, you know, once I was hurt, once I was down, he knew that he couldn't show Marquez fear, so he went at it, and we are all at home going, yeah, man, you know, that was the perfect answer. Like, that just showed even more respect, you know, and that's something I'll always remember. Like, I always got, like, Juan Diaz that, you know, like he said, lying and all that, that's what I think of him when I hear his name now.
Exactly, man. You know, speaking of humble guys, you know, I got to bring this up. You know, Theodore A. Atlas Foundation, if you haven't checked out the interview we did with Teddy Atlas when he was on the show, we talked about his foundation, man, that really, really touched a lot of people's hearts. You got Rick Coward, too. My man has been he got a position in one of the – I believe it was the commission. I don't know exactly – Chris, you know anything about this, or David Chen, or Rob Lindner? I forgot exactly what it's called. I'd have to look it up online. I'll look it up in a minute, then I'll pretty much tell you exactly what his position is. But he's even donating a dollar to every DVD that's bought to the foundation. So it's www.DrAtlasFoundation.com, and basically what it is if you have a child or somebody that's sick and has needs, you know, that is much more than in the state that we're in, you know what I mean, being in a recession economy, and you're willing to donate a quarter or a dollar or whatever you can, you know, please do. Go to his website, or you can go to our website, which is www.therewillbebloodfightshow.com or standandfight.com, and you'll see the banner above, and you can click it, and you can read up on what Mr. Teddy Atlas does and his staff. They do a whole lot, man. They put really up a lot back into the community, you know, and if you can help out, okay? So let's go with David Chen, man. What was your last thought? What's your thoughts about Juan the Baby Bull Diaz?
I'll say this about him. You might not like the way he fights, his style, just his style as a fighter, but I personally really like him as a guy. I can really tell how people will fall in love with him and really go out, you know, to support him and stuff like that. And I have to say I'm a fan of his now. Like I said, I don't have to really love the way he fights in the ring. I don't have to agree with the way he fights, but I would definitely root for him every time I can. You see what I mean? He really makes a big impression. He's like one of those friendly guys that you can really connect with. He's really personable, just really hard to explain. It really takes an interview like this to bring that out of him, and I wish we had more opportunities of talking to fighters like these, man, because you never know, there might be some really good personalities out there that these HBO little broadcasts are just not getting through.
You know, you're right, man, and he is a guy, kind of guy that's really hard to root against and stuff because, you know, he's not a trash talker, you know, and he uses good choices of word, you know, when he does his interviews, and you could tell that, you know what, he's not into this for the ill will about it. He doesn't really care, and you know what I like is he had the understanding there's got to be a bad guy in boxing, but it's just not in his nature. It's not his character at all to do that, you know. Let's go with Rob Riddler, man, out of Puerto Rico. What was your last thoughts about Juan the Baby Bull Diaz, brother?
You know, I really didn't like him when I first got when first impression off of him. I just like, you know, I don't like the way he fights. You know, he's annoying. Like, you know, just from the point of, you know, me fighting and stuff like that, I would hate to fight Juan Diaz because that is the most frustrating fighting style you would have to face. It's just he's all over you. But after hearing him talk and stuff like that and watching the Marquez fight, I just got a lot of respect for him. And by the way, to the Marquez fight, I actually see the Vitaly and Chris fight turning out like that in favor of Vitaly. I think it would be similar to the Marquez and Diaz fight. But I just got a lot more respect for Diaz right now. And, you know, he seems like a great guy. And hopefully he beats Malinacci because I got a bet with Future on this, so...
Oh, yeah?
Hey, Dave, real quick, I want to say this, man. You know, a lot of people don't want to give Juan Diaz his props. They say, well, Nate Campbell exposed him and then Marquez beat him up and stuff like that. But, you know, we all say Marquez had a great victory. And, I mean, why did he get a great victory? It's because Juan Diaz was able to bring a great fight. He was a great fighter that night. You can't have a great victory without both guys doing something good, right? So I think we do have to, you know, give respect where respect is due.
Absolutely, you know, and that's another thing, too. When you see a guy, he basically has said it, you know, and he was very open and he was aware of it himself. He said, I got cut. I tried one way with Nate Diaz, which was be a little bit more cautious and pick my shots, and it didn't work for me. Then I decided, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to go in there, and I'm just going to go for broke, and whatever's going to happen. He pretty much laid all his cards on the table, and he went for bust, and he got bust on it and stuff. And you got to respect a guy like that that was willing to just say, hey, this is it. I'm going to lay my heart on the line. You're going to get what you're going to get, and I may not walk away, but, hey, at least I tried, you know, I honestly like people with character like that, you know, where they don't care if you know, they jump in the water and the waves are a little bit too rough that, they may get, you know, they may drown in there, you know. So, got to give it to them. I agree with you on that, David Chen. Let's go with Machine Gun Big Red. Now he's not talking.
Hey, man, I loved it, especially the fact that he understood every word I said was pretty good. You know, I said before on the radio show that I wasn't really too excited about the fight with Malinacci, but as the time gets closer, I'm just curious. I am getting a little bit excited about it, not for the fact of the fight in general, but to see how the Baby Bull comes out and how he comes victorious. I think he's going to win this fight. And
I got to agree with you on that one, too, because I think I've mentioned it to some people where I'm not really too excited about it, but I'm just a little – I am really curious about – seeing how Juan's going to do, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, I want to see, you know, I think I was a lot of everybody on the panel and everybody in the chat room and whatnot, and the boxing community is wondering, hey, are we going to see the old Juan, or are we going to see this adjustment Juan that, like Rob Riller said, you know, a little bit of a change, it turned out to be a major big change where it kind of turns off the fans that you already have, you know what I mean? They're like, ah, man, he's not the same anymore. He's not doing what he used to do. That's what I'm curious about. You know, I want to see, hey, are we getting the Bull, or are we going to get somebody else that we don't know yet, and we're going to have to get, you know, used to and stuff.
And I hope he comes out and makes a statement. Just like, you know, David Chen said, a lot of people didn't really like his styles, but when he fought Marquez, the kind of fight that he brought, I mean, the guy came to fight. He's not afraid to get in there and mix it up, especially with somebody like Marquez. So I hope, you know, he comes out and makes a great statement and fights some other big fights. I mean, that way we can have some more exciting ones.
Man, can you imagine, like, writing a paper after Marquez knocks you out?
Hell no.
I know, man, I know. And you know what, too, man, I like what David Chen said, that, you know, I think this was David Chen that said this, that this is he's kind of looking at this like the Vitaly Klitschko versus, you know, Oriella fight when Juan had fought Marquez. Because, and it's funny, I was kind of thinking about that, and I just, you know, I think I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you on that, man. I think that's what.
That's Rob, bro. I can't take credit for that if it comes true.
Yeah. You know, man, I hope it does. I hope it does. Let's go with, I think we have, let me see, area code 909, brother. I don't know if you caught the Juan the Baby Bull Diaz interview, but what's on your mind?
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to go get my daughter from school right quick. Yeah, I heard what Juan was saying, and, you know, he's a true warrior. When I first seen him fight Lock for Sim, this guy threw a lot of punches. He always comes to fight, and he's really a hard worker. And for him to balance being a champion and going to school, I felt like, man, this boy, you know, he has a lot of energy. And when he lost to Marquez, this Marquez has outwitted him a little bit. But still, he fought to the end, and he went out on this. He went out on his shield, and he handled his business. So, you know, he gets all the credit in the world. So, and you know, he's young, too, and he's did a lot in his career to be so young. So I think he has a lot of fight. I don't think he's damaged goods. I think he's ready to go, and I think he's going to be Paul Malignaggi easy.
Yep. But like you said, too, you know, boxing is crazy. So I got to kind of give him that. Boxing is crazy. Got to see what happens, you know. Let me see this here, man. Boxing legend Sugar Shane Mosley is to compete in the Lakers 3-on-3 basketball tournament presented by Nike. It's on Saturday, August 15 at 1:15 p.m. at Nike Center Court in L.A. live. Yeah, that should be pretty interesting. If anybody wants to go and check that out, you know. Going back, though, let's see who else is on the line. I think my brother Strikeheart is on the line. Strikeheart, you still there, bro?
Yes, I've been on and off. I'm doing like two or three things at once with my voice that I still have. So, but, yes, I'm here. Would you like me to comment on Juan Diaz?
I absolutely would love for you to comment on Juan Diaz. What is bothering Strikeheart? Let's do that. What is bothering Strikeheart right now?
Right now, obviously, I didn't appreciate his comments about Nate Campbell, but I knew exactly where they were. I knew where they were coming from, so I'm not really going to dwell on that and hold it against him. He obviously got beat by Nate Campbell, and now is taking an opportunity to talk a little trash. That's fine. But as far as Juan Diaz goes, I tried to keep my question, you know, as even keeled as I could, but he's been a guy now for years that his personality just gets under my skin, and I know he's a good guy, but for whatever reason, I can't hear about that school anymore. It seems like everybody else is cool about hearing about that every time his name comes up, but I like my fighters more to just stick to the boxing, talk with your fists. And if you got something else to say, I don't care about your outside life, really, for the most part. So that's me and Juan Diaz. It's just funny. If you look, I've only been on YouTube for a month, like 4 or 5 months, but actually my very first video, I was and it was back when I had animated videos before I got my camera going, but I had a little bit of a rant about Juan Diaz on my very first video. I'm tired of the school. It's a good thing. I can't hear about it anymore. That's where I'm coming from. And I was actually really rooting for Julio Diaz on that night to do what he said he would do, and I was very excited. Big part of the reason why I'm a huge Nate Campbell fan is because of what he did to Juan Diaz. So, that's just me. I know everybody else loves Juan Diaz, so I should probably just keep my mouth shut.
Who said that in the background?
Really,
come on.
He's that guy for me that I just want to see him lose because he talks just
I'm gonna say I'm gonna say exactly what a lot of people are thinking on the panel
ahead,
and on the chat room. What a dick.
I know.
We need more boxers to think about the future, man. You know, you gotta think about your future. And he said he's bored at home right now. Some people can juggle. And
I understand that, but I'm
and that's a positive,
sure that
man.
He's not
to keep
the
their
only
mind
guy
on the club. They don't go to the club. They don't go drinking with their buddies. They don't do all that stuff that gets them out of shape, out of their fights. Why not have something to focus? It's like you got responsibility, you know?
That's not what bothers me about Juan Diaz, though. It's just the fact that I have to hear about it every 2 seconds. I'd much rather hear him talk about his fight than about his homework.
I wish it was commonplace so we wouldn't even have to hear about that, but it's not commonplace in boxing. So that's why it gets, you know, promoted so much with him because of the fact that he's doing it.
I wouldn't even say that it's him that has advanced that storyline the whole time.
Good one.
It's the storyline that they've given him, and it's just an annoying storyline for me.
Hey, you know, those I totally, you know, disagree with you on the baby bull Diaz, but I understand where you're coming from because before Victor Ortiz fought Maidana, I don't know if anybody watched it on HBO, but they had a little insert with Victor Ortiz up there, and he was talking about his past, and he started crying and all that. I felt that was a little bit overdone. It didn't make me hate Victor Ortiz or not, you know, be a fan of his, but I felt like his promoters maybe took that a little bit too far with him up there talking about it, crying, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, that was a little bit overdone. So I kind of understand what you mean, but to have that not make you like a fighter and glad that he lasts, that's a little bit that's a little bit under, dog.
I'm just keeping it real, man.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I gotta appreciate that. I know the panel is open to anybody right now. Everybody's panel is open. You want to comment what Strikehart said? But I gotta say this. Listen, I respect Justin to say this because you know what? There's some people that just won't say anything. They're just going to be like, oh, well, you know, yeah, it was cool, blah, 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 blah. But hey, he said what's on his mind. And that's the whole purpose of having this show, Leaving in the Ring, is because we want to hear what real hardcore fight fans are feeling. And you know, and he said what he wanted to see, you know, how he felt and stuff. Chris, got anything to say about this? David Chan, you obviously go to school. Got anything to say about what he had just mentioned right now?
Well, for me, it's just, like, I have a hard time, like, coming home from school. I like to take a nap because I wake up really early to go to school, maybe, like, 6, 7 in the morning. And then got to go to my boxing gym. And, like, half the time, I'm you know, I can't even drag myself out of bed. And I'm just going for a normal workout. This guy has to go to training camp and, like, catch up on homework. And his major is arguably, like, harder than mine. So, you know, I can sympathize with him. You know, it means a little bit more to me when he says, well, I'm going to school and I'm a champion. I'm like, how do you do that? You see what I mean? That gets me interested. So I guess everybody, depending on their life experience, are going to be able to identify with different fighters in different ways.
I got to agree. You know, Strikehart, this is the thing I got to say about that is this, okay? The common story of a fighter is he grew up in the ghetto or you know, et cetera, his, you know, his parents, you know, were drug addicts, et cetera, you know. It's a common story. You know, I come from that common story as much as a lot of these other kids that come from that common story and stuff. But here, somebody of the you know, somebody that's in the game that I love and to hear him talk about something completely different, I respect that because I'm like, wow, you know what? There is a lot more, you know, being that my son's a fighter too, and I tell him all the time, there's a lot more than just boxing? What is the point of learning how to fight? What is the point of being a world champion or et cetera, et cetera, if you can't even count your own money?
Exactly.
I agree with you about that. I don't know. I don't know how many times I can say I was tired about hearing his school stuff and what grade he got on his homework last Tuesday. It's just that's what I was upset about. You know, I'm glad you graduated.
Well, Justin, would you say the same thing about Bernard Hopkins, though, and his prison story?
No, but I mean, Bernard Hopkins does not talk about going to prison quite as much as Juan Diaz talks about going to school.
Oh, yes, he did.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of prison stuff from Hopkins, man. I've seen entire programs.
He talked about it all the time about going to prison. You know what I'm saying?
No, I won't say every time. No, he talked about it quite a bit. Yeah, he did, but not every single time I heard Bernard.
Well, Justin, to be honest, Juan didn't bring it up. We did. You know, we started giving him props, and he's got to talk to us, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, you guys are misunderstanding me. It's just that every time I hear about Juan Diaz, I have to hear about his school. And I can understand why everybody else is excited about that. It's just something that I personally am not all that excited about hearing. I'd much rather
every
hear
fighter
about
has that. Yeah. Every fighter has a story that you always hear about.
Hey, man, I just want to say, you know, I like that Juan Diaz is going to school and focusing stuff because I got kicked out of school a long time ago. I haven't been in school since. It's been like years since I got kicked out of school, and it was because of my fighting and stuff like that. And you know, now I'm focusing on the sport a lot more. But you know, I gotta say, I regret you know, throwing them punches. You know, I'll admit it. You know, I feel like it was a mistake. You know, and I'm young, and I'm really young. You know, I'm really hot headed. Sometimes you get caught up in the moment. But now that I look back, I've been a few years out of the school. I gotta say, I regret it. You know, I actually miss going to school, you know, talking to people. You know, I would probably cut class a few more times, but, you know, I just miss the school shit and everything like that. But, yeah.
It's good to see and hear somebody got it right the first time.
Hey, well, yeah, I'm going to tell you this right now, really. You need to stop because, you know, then Sarkar's going to say, I hate this dude already, man. Every time I got to hear how you didn't go to school.
That's what I was saying. Man. I was like thinking, like, damn, Strikeheart's gonna be my first boxing fan because I don't even go to school. I mean, shit.
Hey, man, you know, like I said, you may not agree with them, but you gotta respect his opinion. Garage Shot, I heard you back in the background. You're like, come on, man, what's on your mind?
Nah, here goes the whole situation, you know what I'm saying? It's good to hear somebody that gets it right the first time. I mean, all of us regret not handling our business when we're younger, in our younger 20s or dropping out of school or doing whatever. And the number one thing about boxers' retirement is they don't have nothing to fall back on. They get into faulty businesses, they flop or do whatever. And it's good to hear somebody that handled their business the first time, went to school, so he has something to fall back on once he stops boxing. You know, I think a lot of fighters need to open up more and worry about their future instead of the quick dollar and have something to fall back on. That's why I like it so much, because he handled his business.
Okay. Can I just bring up something else then?
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. So let me just get everybody's opinion on this then. How does everybody feel about the fact that he basically minimizes boxers who only box? And he definitely – years ago would make it seem like it came so easily to him. He could just walk into a boxing gym and it was all magic, and he didn't have to work very hard. He just showed up on fight night, kicked your ass, and that was it. That's the attitude that I don't like coming from Juan Diaz. To me, all he ever told me was about how his school was the most important thing to him and boxing was something that he just did for now. That's really not what I want to hear as a boxing fan. I kind of like it when the person
different.
I'm watching
hey,
on TV likes to fight.
But you know, I don't think he minimized or really minimizes boxers in general. Julio Diaz, on that fight with Julio Diaz, I'm from the desert, and Julio Diaz was talking shit all day long, telling him to put down the books, become a man. And actually, Julio Diaz getting his ass whooped in that fight, it's kind of good to put him back in his level, even though, you know, again, I'm a biased fighter. Anytime he goes in the ring, I want him to win. But when it comes to school, there's too many boxers that go in there and depend on the money they make from boxing. They don't have anything else to fall back on. So he's a good spokesperson for just boxers in general, you know, to let them know, hey, you need to go out and find something else, because one day if you keep boxing and getting your ass beat all the damn time, you're not going to be able to talk or move or whatever. So you got to know when to pull out and have something to fall back on. So in that aspect, I think by him sounding like he's minimizing boxers, it might make a boxer actually sit there and think, like, you know what, I need to do something. Because there's a few prospects that are out there that are still in school, and I think we're going to have one on the show that are in school and boxing and trying to do the same thing, so they have something to fall back on. Because boxing, it's a young man's sport. Shit, by the time you hit 30, there's a lot of guys who can't fight no more. You got to have something to go back on and take care of your kids, because they're not saving the money. They're out there splurging it. Well, most of them, not all of them. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, so...
I'm not gonna argue. Hold on. I gotta say this, man. Hey, Red, do you even breathe, though? I mean, because you're like. Man, all I know is every time you, before you talk, I hear a.
Whatever, John.
No, this is what it look. I think, and he made a good point. Okay, and the question is it okay for Juan the Baby Bull Diaz to discredit certain fighters or all fighters that don't take time, you know, in the academical, you know, department? Is that cool? I don't know. Does anybody want to answer that? I mean, you know, we got Chris. We got, you know, go ahead.
I'm full-time for boxing, you know, I don't go to school and stuff like that, so I didn't take offense to it. I just look at it this way. Boxing is like the hard knock family that brings you up, and you have to do one thing, you know, and if you do anything outside of boxing, if you're into construction or something, then all, they're going to be like, just go do construction, don't even step into the ring anymore, you know, or go to school, or go be a librarian, you know, you just have to be a boxer if you're going to be in boxing to most fans. But the thing is that Juan Diaz is going in there, he feels it's important to have enough education, so I think he has the right to defend himself. I don't think he's actually just putting fighters down to put them down. I think he's just defending himself and saying, you know, I want an education, you know, and I want something to fall back on, like you guys said. I just think he's defending himself. I don't think he's putting them down.
I don't know, man. I don't see anybody attacking him over there. Going to school.
That's what he was saying in the interview.
Because it's all he can talk about is going to school. Let's talk about a fight. We're about to get in a fight.
That's what he said in the interview. That people would come up to him in his hometown even and say right to his face, you know, you could have been a better fighter if you did that. Then he responds. Or like we all asked him about questions like that. Then he responded. It's not like he was just on HBO and the first thing out of your mouth is that. I mean, it's a defending himself too. I don't see him just barking about it either. Like right after a fight, like, just so you know, all those fighters out there, they're a bunch of chumps because they're not in school. You know, it's not like he's calling people out. It just is someone comes at him. Like he said, people in the street literally come up to him and say that, or in the gym. Then that's just defending himself. That's not coming out. And every fighter has a story that you get sick of. I mean, every story follows a fighter.
Well, all right. So what?
In a sense. I mean, you know.
Who asked him tonight, how much money will you make if you go be a lawyer today? Who asked him if he...
That was part of the story, though. That was part of the story of a guy coming up to him saying something, and he said that to the guy.
Who asked him?
That was different. He didn't come out of nowhere.
Who asked him?
You asked him about school.
Yeah, I did. I asked him about Julio Diaz because that's what I was interested in. But who asked him if he had fought Timothy Bradley in the amateurs? Nobody. And I knew as soon as it came out of his mouth, I was like, there's no way this guy brought that up unless he beat Timothy Bradley in the amateurs. Of course he did, yeah. He likes to tell you what he can make. He likes to tell you.
But you
what
like
he
Nate
does.
Campbell though. You like Nate Campbell, and that's all he does is talk about what
Nate
he can
Campbell
do.
Wait, Justin, I thought you didn't want to hear about school anymore. That's why he started telling you about his amateur boxing times when he beat other people, man. That's talking about fighting, right?
Yeah, you got me there. But
I love you,
guys.
Don't get me wrong. I love you.
I know you do. But the reason why I bring that up is because my point there was that he's only going to talk about stuff that makes him look awesome. And I know you're going to say everybody.
Well, doesn't every fighter do that, though?
I know you were going to say that. But no, I think Juan Diaz really thinks that he's something more special than that he is. And that's just my opinion. Now people are going to
say that. Is that wrong for him? Is that wrong? Is that wrong for him? But listen, guys, is that wrong for him to do? I mean, we all do some here, our own boxing shows. We all, contribute. I mean, we all have a career, but not just, watching boxing. Is it wrong for a person, I'm a plumber by trade. Is it wrong for me to go, hey, I'm a hell of a plumber. I know what I'm doing. I know my job. Is that wrong for a person to have that confidence, though?
No. But at the same time, you're not going to brag about what your salary would be to me. I don't know Juan Diaz, but now I know that he can make $60,000 as a lawyer.
But Nate Campbell talks about everything he can and can't do. Nate Campbell talks way more, but you love him.
Nate Campbell talks about one thing and one thing only.
High level. He talks more than his game is.
Yeah, he talks smack, but he talks smack about boxing. That's not a problem for me. That's what you're not understanding.
Okay.
I got a question.
Sure.
And this is all in good fun. You seem to be like a Robin Hood for boxers who lose big fights, you know what I mean, with Nate Campbell and Julian Diaz. Is there a fighter out there that you do like that hasn't lost a big fight or that's doing well?
That's a good question. I have to think about that. But, yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a huge Manny Pacquiao fan, and does that score me too much points with people on this show? I don't think so. I like Joe Calzaghe. Many people would take offense to that. Yeah.
Sick of Manny Pacquiao's story, then. I could say the same thing. I'm sick of Manny Pacquiao. He grew up poor in the streets, and he had to fight for food. We hear that all the time, but I could never get sick of that story.
I'm tired of hearing
one story. One story I'm
charity.
Sick of.
It's always the charity.
Yeah, it is always the charity.
Exactly. He gives charity.
He's the most giving person ever.
Well, I love him, and I love him for it, but I'm not going to hate on him because he grew up, it's the same story with Manny. That gets told every countdown, every 24/7. It's the same story with Manny. So what's the difference?
the difference in there
hey, look,
let me address that.
On the court that he paved.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. The glove as a pool. I don't need to know he's got a glove for a pool. But he tells us that.
I don't remember Manny Pacquiao telling me that.
Damn 24/7. That's part of the promotion.
24/7, we saw his glove pool because I remember reading about that in Ring Magazine. But
I've seen it about 15 times that he's got a pool as that, and he likes to show. He's got machine gun guys, 10 machine dudes, gun guys that protect his house. I hear the whole story. I love it.
Right.
I'm not going to hate. If I hated it, I wouldn't hate him for it.
Isn't that the narrator, though? I mean, let me make a point here. When they talk to Manny Pacquiao after a fight, and I don't want to get on here and defend Manny Pacquiao because this will open up a can of worms, but Manny Pacquiao, at the end of a fight, he's got one thing to say. Right before a fight, he's got one thing to say, and it's just about the fight. It's not going to be about his glove pool. It's not going to be about his charity and feeding people with turkeys and shit. That's the story that HBO...
It's going to be about God. He talks about God more than boxing.
He does talk about God a little bit, but I'm...
Way more. That's not boxing. He talks about God. He said hey, it's up to God if I win or not. It doesn't have anything to do with him.
I ain't going to rag on somebody's religion, though. That's going a little bit too far even for me, so...
Oh, but you can relate on someone else's life. That's part of their life. Life is life. If something's important to you... I'm not ragging on Manny or that. I'm just trying to give you an example of how you hear the same story. Whatever story it is, you hear the same story with every fighter, whether it's the narration or it's him.
I'm going to clarify what I'm trying to say with Juan Diaz then, so maybe I'm better understood. Juan Diaz isn't really shying away from telling you about his school shit. That's what he wants to talk about. I don't really see that from a whole lot of other guys. When I watch a boxing match, everybody does have their own story. But for the most part, they're there to fight, and that's what they want to talk about. Juan Diaz can be sidetracked into talking about stuff that I have no interest in about 2 seconds, and we'll talk about it all night. So
that's called
all
night.
Like
he's on.
I think what we learned from this is that Strike Hart is a Juan Diaz hater. That is just.
Hey, how about when Nate Campbell's always talking about Manny Pacquiao doesn't fight black fighters and he never gets a chance? He says that shit in every freaking fight. So
does
that bother you about Nate Campbell, or
disagree with Nate Campbell on that? But I don't think Nate Campbell really honestly believes what he says in that instance. I think that he's just trying to be provocative and hopefully land himself a fight that he's never going to land. I mean,
exactly.
That's just him talking smack, and that's what Nate Campbell does. He talks a lot of smack. He doesn't mean 75% of the things that he says.
Right. Keeping it real. So is it better to have a boxer talking smack, not meaning shit that he says, than to have a fighter who's promoting education, a better life, after boxing?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I
don't want to see you make a video with Manny Pacquiao talking shit about Nate Campbell. You know what I mean?
Well, hold on. Wait, what about this? What about the fact that Juan Diaz probably serves as a very good role model? I mean, I think it takes a lot of discipline and hard work to get through school and be successful in boxing. You know what I mean?
Right. And that actually is a comment I think I made on my very first video via a cartoon man. I said, I don't know if Juan Diaz is trying to be a role model or an asshole. That was the question that I had. So that's you might think that he's trying to be a role model. I honestly think that he likes to hear about how he graduated from college and have everybody celebrate that fact. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm being really cynical about it. Maybe I'm
you
wrong.
Are.
But you know what? That's how I feel.
That's
so.
Cool. That's cool.
Tomatoes,
cool.
Tomatoes.
You know what? You got to let him.
Yeah, make a video about this, man.
You know, listen, you guys, you got to let him, you know, express, man, and that's the whole part. You may not agree with him, just like a lot of things that we've said. I mean, look, he's even said right now, this is probably the worst place for me to talk about Manny Pacquiao because, you know, there's obviously, I don't think I've ever said I don't like Manny. And speaking of, you know, my other co-host, Blood, I know you're on the line, brother. Are you on the line?
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's cracking, but. We have found the Caucasian most controversial guy next to Blood right now.
I've been listening for the past 5 minutes here. It sounds like I missed the Juan Diaz interview, but it sounds like Strikehart don't like him talking about school. But see, that's part of the – see, the thing is, man, it ain't all him, man. How many boxers have a degree? I think a lot of it has to do with HBO promoting it, and he just kind of fell in that trap. I mean, the Klitschko's have degrees. You don't hear them talking about it all the time. Bone Crusher Smith had a degree. He went up there talking about the shit all the time. But, you know, Ron Lyle, I think Ron Lyle had a degree. But, you know, Juan Diaz does tend to get a little bit, you know, out of hand with the shit sometimes, though. You know, he does tend to I do admit that. But I think it's good for boxing. It just shows that all boxers ain't dumb and that, you know, boxers could do other things too. So I think it's good for boxing.
What about the Klitschko's? The Klitschko's are, like, pretty accomplished guys outside of the ring. You know, that they run for, I think Vitaly ran for mayor one time.
Yeah,
you know,
I have
you don't really hear about
the Klitschko's.
Too much.
I'm actually probably one of the few guys stateside that isn't really down on the heavyweight division. I think the Ukrainian and Russian fighters that all fight in Germany are actually pretty good, and they're not getting their due respect. Actually, in the process, that's going to be my next little project, is to try and shed light on the fact that the heavyweight division really isn't dead at all. It's pretty much fine, except for stateside.
Damn, I got on that subject myself, and I got murdered for it. Oh, my God, I feel sorry for you.
I'm expecting to get killed. I'm expecting to get killed on that.
Yep. Okay, listen, guys. We're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to talk about a little bit about the diamond belt, the new diamond belt that WBC has issued out for catchweight divisions. But let's take a real quick break, man.
I'm going to have to peace out real quick. So thanks, everybody. I don't take nothing you said personally. I got to go. So I'll talk to you all later.
All right, brother. Okay, man. Strike that.
Right, continue drinking that Heyday, dog. Continue drinking that Heyday, Strike Hard.
Hey, we always enjoy to have a controversy on Leaving the Ring. That's one thing that we love. We enjoy it. We you know, it's like a nice cold beer to us.
I'll be back
Leaving
for another
ring.
Week of it next week. All right, see ya.
All right, brother. Hey, we're looking forward to your article. All right, man. Leave it in the ring. We had Juan the Baby Bull Diaz on. It was great guest to some folks. Some folks not. But, quick thing. More gangster music, man. So if you're riding, ride.
Bye. crazy men shout. We're gonna turn this mother sucker out to all of you people that are ready to jam, screaming out and say,
some of the old school stuff. I know my boy Blood did. That right, Blood?
Yeah, man, what you know about that Sugar Hill Gang, that UTFO and that Houdini? Yeah, I like it, boy. That's something right there.
I'm telling you, dog, it brought you back. It took me back. I know that. Shit. I was over here. I was about to do the backspin, head spin, you know, 1999, suicide.
Nah, don't do it. Don't do it, dog. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, I know, man. And, you know, before, man, we talk about the diamond belt and stuff, I know that diamond belt is a conversation that we've had many, many times. Well, actually, not many, many times. We just talked about the weight classes, but now they've made an official belt, which is, you know, it's funny. But I do want to make an announcement. A very good brother of ours by the name of James Coward has been appointed on August 5th, 2009, a supervisor and chairman of public relations for an organization that is called WPBFNUSBC, which is the World Professional Boxing Federation, United States Boxing Council. They approached him a few months ago. They asked him if he wanted to have an executive position. He was nominated, and he won, and now he's a supervisor and chairman of public relations for the organization. It's a four-year term, and you know what, man? It's for the World Championship men's and women bouts, and I got to give him, you know, hats off to him, brother. Hey, congratulations. We're very proud of you, everybody from Leaving in the Ring. I know I'm very proud of you. I'm happy that you got that position. So hopefully you keep doing some good in there, man, and hope to hear more and more about that position from you. So congratulations, brother. So anyways, let's get down to it, man. The Diamond Bout, Blood. The Diamond Bout, Chris. The Diamond Bout, Dave. Let's see. The Diamond Bout is announcing the institution of a new WBC Green Gold Bout to be called the WBC Diamond Championship Bout. Its implement has been approved by unanimous vote of the WBC Board of Governors. Now, who's the WBC Board of Governors? Isn't it just Jose Suleiman?
Yeah.
So why is there even a vote on this? Why don't they just be straight up? Look, the president said, hey, man, I need to come up with some more money. I'd like to hear the conversation and what happened in the office, Blood. What do you think, man? I would have loved to have heard this conversation. Hey, you know what, man? You know what would be a great-ass idea right now? We come up with a new belt. I don't know. Blood, what is your thoughts about this belt, brother?
Well, it's just another belt, man. You know, belts don't mean anything. So, you know, I'm totally against it, but, you know, what can we say at this time, man?
You know, the interesting thing about this belt, Blood, is the belt is being manufactured using the same design as the traditional belt, right? but the materials will include 18 karat gold fusion, 598 diamonds, 196 emeralds, 6 rubies, 150 semi-precious stones, right?
Well, it just—I don't know. Like, what's the politics behind it? How are they gonna rank these guys? How are they gonna rank people to be in line for the film? How are they gonna do this? You know anything about that?
No, it doesn't say anything about that. It just says this bout here at the catchweight division. Now I'm wondering if they're gonna have an interim catchweight for this division, this catchweight division, and what is it gonna be called? The platinum belt?
I don't know, man. It depends on how they do, how the politics behind the bill. Who's going to get to fight for the title? How are they going to do the ranking system? And, you know, that's what I'm waiting to see, which I'm sure is going to be totally pick and choose as usual.
My question about this belt, doesn't it make these fighters now less interested in being in a real weight division, this traditional weight division, doesn't it just make them go, who cares about going to 147? I'll just go on a catchweight. I'll be a champion at catchweight.
It's just another weight class.
Yeah, pretty much it's just another, why not just say it's another weight class? I was thinking about that.
Why even have weight
Good
class?
Good point. It's a joke, man. It's a joke. It's another belt. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid. That's what I feel about it.
Exactly. 916 Chris, man, your thoughts about this diamond belt?
My thoughts are what Blood just said.
Fucking stupid. Exactly.
I mean, you guys nailed it. It's a cash grab. It's retarded. I mean, I don't think 20 years from now we're going to say, Sugar Shane Mosley, four-time welterweight champion, WBC champion, Diamond champion.
There's something else to add on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on.
You know, super champion, interim champion, diamond champion, whatever. All that stuff, it is retarded. No one cares. You know, I don't care who wins the belt. I'm not going to give him any weight. I'm not going to be like, oh, Manny beat Cotto for the diamond belt. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? Really? As long, I pretty much, you know, go with the ring rankings for the most part. You know, whoever holds that belt, even though it's unofficial as well, but the diamond belt, whatever, dude.
Why don't you just unify all these belts? This is stupid. Another belt? I mean, come on. I don't care if it's made out of fucking diamonds and gold and platinum. You know, so what? You know, how are they going to rank? How are they going to let people, how are they going to determine who's the man in the division still? We still don't know who the man in the division is going to be.
Exactly. Carlito's way, what is your thoughts about this diamond belt, brother?
Man, I can already hear them announcing Diamond Belt champion of the, you know, like Diamond Belt, what the?
It's like wrestling or some shit. It's ridiculous. It's like wrestling. They might as well make this shit like wrestling. They might as well have SmackDown every Wednesday night or some shit for the Diamond Champ.
Hey, at least it'd be on normal TV at that point, I guess. But you know what? I think it's they're getting ready. Was it the WBC that did this?
WBC, yep.
I think they're just getting ready for Pacquiao and Floyd. I don't know what it is, man. It's ridiculous. All these catchweights fights are ridiculous, but to have a belt, like you said, how are you going to rank it? How are you going to know? So now you're just in the category of why would you need it if you can already go from, like tonight, Diaz says he can make 135 and 140, so he could just bounce back and forth. He can already do that. Why do you need it in between from 40 to 47 or whatever the case may be? It sounds like the WBC just wants to be a part of, you know, the maybe fight that would happen or something in the future. And now Pacquiao Cotto going for it. So that'll be a part of that because Pacquiao, they want to jump with Pacquiao so much that they, because these catchweights are going to come up in every fight. Every welterweight he fights is going to be a catchweight. So why not call it? I don't. It's ridiculous. That's my thought.
Is it fair to bring up something? Hold on, real quick. I'll let you say what you got to say right now, but I got to say this. Is it fair, though, to bring up Manny Pacquiao's name about this right after a diamond belt? It sounds like he's being put the blame. I don't think he is being put.
No, that's, I don't mean to bring him up. I think, you know, they think for the future, HBO, all these guys think for the future, and the future fight that everybody wants is going to be at a catchweight. So that's all the reason why I said that. I mean, Floyd's in a catchweight too, so I could say Floyd. And there's years, you know, it didn't just start now. So, yeah, I don't think,
absolutely,
you know, wasn't it an idea that they had already? Yeah, probably already going, but it did happen right now for Cotto Pacquiao. That's all. I hear you. It's not his fault. No, not at all. Uh-uh. But it just kind of, it seems like they're setting the plans for his, you know, a couple future fights too. Because like I said, he's not going to have guys weighing at 147 if he fights Shane or Floyd or whoever he fights next in the welterweight division. So I can be at 147. So I don't know.
The WBC is doing it first. Then the WBA is going to have theirs.
Yeah,
then the WBO is going to have theirs. Then the IBF. Then the IBC. Then the ABC. Then the, you know, man. It's ridiculous, man.
It's ridiculous. who wanted
to make a statement? Go ahead and make your statement, whoever wanted to make
it. Oh, that would be me. Yo, listen, it's like we know the sanctioning bodies are in the business of selling belts. You know, everybody agrees. Yeah, let's have some super middleweight champion, you know, like division. Let's have some junior lightweight divisions. Let's just double all the divisions up, and now we can sell more belts. And this is just one more belt they're trying to sell, because as we all know, catchweight fights tend to be some mega fights. You know, they tend to be because two fighters are from two different divisions, and they want a piece of that too. They want to make sure that they're being paid every time somebody ends up fighting at the world level. Now, the thing with the belt itself is it's just so distasteful. It's got all that gold on it. It's got all those diamonds on it. I mean, Marco Antonio Nazareth, the Mexican fighter that died, maybe a month ago, his family got $20,000 from the WBC, from what I read, right? And they're passing these, they're making these diamond belts. I mean, it's so distasteful. It's just such a backward step for the sport. I hate seeing stuff like this.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that, man, you know. And like I said, I really want to see, I would really love to hear the audio, if anybody has it, of how this conversation went about, with this president sitting down in the office, and he's sitting with his government body of people, and they're like, okay, who wants to be next? Who wants to come up with more money? Hey, I'll say, you know what? I don't have
Hey, let's
in
create
my head.
Another
yeah.
belt. Let's create another belt for the yeah. dumb people. They'll just think it's another champion, you know? And we're just raking more money.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
All it is,
you know,
man. I mean,
you know,
I
go ahead.
I mean, I think I got the audio, and it probably went something like this. Join the dark side.
Exactly.
You probably did, you know. I think it was probably a little bit more than that. You know, I think it was more like, you know what, man? I have three big mansions, you know, limousines, Ferraris, yacht boats. I am a very poor man. I need more, you know? You know, we need to come up with a name. I bet you that's what really came down. We need to come up with a name for this bout, Senor Jose Suleiman. He looks at his ring. Oh, we'll call it the Diamond Bout. I don't know, man. You know,
now you have people being called the Diamond Champ. Well, he won four diamond titles. He's
yeah,
the man.
Exactly.
I mean, come on, man. This is a joke. They should just get rid of belts together. I don't think belts mean nothing anymore.
But the bad thing, worst thing about this is that this belt is going to be another way to give more credit to fighters who don't really deserve the credit.
Exactly. Exactly. Not even that. How do you put a guy that, first off, I've said it many times, there is no more pound for pound list. That's gone. Just like Blood mentioned, it's gone already. Nobody cares about these bouts. You know, especially us hardcore fans, we don't care about these bouts anymore. We just want to see guys fight the best. But how do you put a guy, let's say a guy goes, he don't even fight the standard, the traditional weight, and he jumps from catchweight to catchweight to catchweight. How do you rate him as a pound for pound? Great. You can't.
Oh, but they'll find a way, because they always do. They always find a way to twist it around, and then they'll throw his sad-ass story in there how he came from the ghetto, how his mama beat him with the heels, and she, you know, crap like that. His mama was throwing beer bottles at him when he was 5 years old.
Then he went
that
to school.
Now, Diamond champion. Yeah. Woo!
You know, that sad story of how he got kicked out of school because he was in a fighting. And
whatever, man. Whatever. I ain't fighting. Man, I would never fight for that fucking title.
Hey, Riddle, you used to fight school, man? You used to get your ass whipped that much that you had to drop out of school, man?
No, maybe in kindergarten, but not lately.
Hey, you know what I'm waiting for right now, man, to be honest with you? I'm waiting for a future boxer to call in right now and like, before this segment's over and be like, oh, what's going on, guys?
That dude is so blown, he forgot where his phone is. He's probably like, like, where the hell is my phone? Is the show on today? Where's my phone?
He's probably trying to call in on Saturday night. He'd be sitting by the phone. He'd try to call in on damn little Saturday.
I'm gonna call him up tomorrow and tell him the show's on, and, you know, see if he calls.
Oh, and we love you, Future Boxer, man. You're our boy. Grindshine, man, you're awfully quiet back there, brother. What's going on, man? What's your thoughts about this diamond belt?
Oh, man, fix my top rhyme right quick. But, nah, man, it's crazy, man. They're just doing anything nowadays. They're doing what the hell they want. And, I mean, they just need to keep it regular. I mean, it's getting out of hand now.
Yeah, I got to agree with you.
These companies might as well jump on it. They might as well have a Coca-Cola belt, a 7-Up belt. You know, they might as well jump a hot chocolate belt. Burger, hot chocolate champion. You know, I mean, come on.
Star Quest bowl games. It'll be like the bowl games in college football, all those extra bowls that you don't need, like Star Quest and all that stuff.
All right, man, let's move on from this diamond belt, man, because I'm pretty sure we could talk about that garbage-ass belt as long as we could. Because we already know, those ain't real diamonds. Those ain't real rubies. You know what I mean? Any fool can figure that out. But let's go with it. Golden Boy just inked Vicious Vivian Harris. You know, he just got inked to Golden Boy, and he should be fighting shortly, you know, in the Golden Boy banner now and stuff, native of Georgetown. 29 wins, 3 losses, 1 draw, 19 knockouts. Okay?
Here we go again.
He's got victories over Stevie Johnson and Juan Lascano, who have had the privilege of interviewing a few times. Hey, man, speaking about that, David Chair will be down over here Saturday. Me and my man are going to kick back and watch some fights and stuff, chill out, hang out. Then on Sunday, we got another cigar celebrity party to go to that Chris, we're going to be bringing Chris along and stuff at the Martins, I believe it's called, Steakhouse in Sacktown. Don't ask me for the address because I don't know. They haven't even emailed me that, so that's out the door stuff. So
yeah, man. How y'all getting together in that? I can't be invited, though, man. Shit.
I invited you, dog.
Man?
August, you know.
What's up with that, man? I like steak.
Hey, Blood's been invited. Blood has been invited. I told him, hey, keep your calendar open on this day and stuff, man. But right now, Blood's been so busy with work and stuff like that, it's kind of hard to get a hold of now, man.
Yeah.
Is he going to be around for the
fight? Fuck them, too.
All right, check it out. This Saturday, pay-per-view, we got Roy Jones and Left Hook. Lacey, it's the battle of the Hook City. Who's the best hooker in boxing?
Hey, Ruff, tell me, what was up with that suit that Roy Jones had on at the press conference, man? That 300-looking wig and shit. What was up with that?
He's been watching way too much Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hey, no, too many shots of Captain Morgan, man. Hey, you want to hear a funny story, man? This is messed up, man. It's not boxing related, but this is fun. I went camping this past weekend, okay? Took the kids, you know, skiing and all that. My brother-in-law was there. He's a real cool guy, man, you know. Get along with him great. But I never knew that this dude had a tat, right? And his tattoo is on his leg, and it was the parrot. He had a big-ass parrot. So without thinking, I said, hey, man, how come you have the Captain Morgan parrot on your leg and shit? And it turned out to be that was his nickname, dude. Everybody calls him the parrot in Spanish and shit, man. And I thought that was messed up. I felt bad after, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, shit.
Man.
Leave it up to Ruff to just go overboard.
Hey, man. I don't know. Shit.
Man, you was on that Captain Morgan, your damn self, and saying some shit like that.
I was. All right, man, check this out. Danny Green, the Green Machine Green, is on the undercard. He's going to be fighting Julio Cesar Dominguez, okay? Also on the undercard is BJ Flores, junior heavyweight champion. I don't know why I call him junior heavyweight champion, but he's going to be fighting number 6 WBA against Mendoza. Then after that, you're going to have Kim Bro, I believe his last name is, versus Jason, the All-American Litzo, you know, a 10-rounder bout. So it sounds like a pretty decent card, man. I don't know. I might tune in and watch it, you know. Hey, you never know, man. I mean, after a few brewskis in the system, me and David T will be like, fuck it, let's just watch it, dog. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, you guys going to need a few brewskis to watch Boris out freaking fighting, and Jason, please knock me out, Litzo. You know, this is... That sounds like one of the worst fucking cards I've ever heard of in my life.
I'd rather watch that Top Rank. That Top Rank card doesn't look that bad.
You know, I was gonna talk about that right now. You know, the Pino Power, Filipino Power. Okay, Nonito Dernier, and you know what's funny though is Steve Luvano is not Filipino. I thought he was Mexican American. But he's on that card, too. Anthony Peterson's on that card, and should be pretty good. It's on the same night. It's on pay-per-view. It's at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. So, you know, tune in and check that out if you're not going to watch the Roy Jones one. I'm going to watch the Roy Jones. I'm probably going to watch the, you know, Dornier, too. I like Dornier. He's a good fighter, man. He needs a little
more. Yeah, I like Dornier. Hey, who's going to win that Roy Jones fight, bro?
Oh, man. I got to go with Lacey.
Why? Cause that man wore that wig. Is that why?
Hey, man. I don't know, man. How do you support a man that wears a wig and walks around in a dress?
Can't
do it and stuff. Now, Roy Jones is my man. He's my boy, man. You know, got mad respect for Roy Jones and stuff. I think he's gonna take it. I think he's gonna be entertaining fight. The bad part about that fight, though, Blood Man, I mean, I think you agree on me, is that Roy just doesn't like knocking out his people in front of him anymore. So I think it's going to go all the way through whatever rounds it's going to go, and it's going to probably, you know, turn out to be a boring fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
man.
I don't think so, though. I think it's going to be a knockout, personally. I don't know which way it's going to go, but somebody going down, though.
I think if anybody's going to be looking for the knockout, it's going to be Lacey, though.
Yeah.
I think Lacey's going to get knocked out looking for the knockout.
Yeah.
Left hook. He barely throw any damn punches. He need to change
exactly.
That nickname. No hook, Lacey. That's...
Hey, Standard Fight right now is asking, who's buying any of these pay-per-views this weekend, man? I don't know.
I'll buy the Donaire one, but I ain't buying the Roy Jones one. I'll see that for free online.
Square Wing pay per view.
that's insulting. Roy Jones and Jeff Lacey with a crappy undercard on pay per view. That is insulting.
Yeah, I think there'll be more action. I think the fights will be better on that Top Ranked. I know Nonito's not fighting the best fighter, but at least Dube comes to fight, and then that Lueva now and Concepcion. That should be a pretty good fight, you know. I think it'd just be a little more action, that's all, on the Top Rank.
You might be right on that, man. Hey, but you know what? This weekend also is going to be the Carreno versus Cyborg Santos fight, if anybody's interested in watching MMA.
Yeah, I'm
the biggest.
I'm definitely
that's some girls.
Yep, that's
the them girls fighting. Yeah, I might want to see that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
The biggest female fight, man, I would have to say, in history. Chris, would you agree?
Obviously, I agree because I wrote an article talking about this on the website. So if anyone feels like reading my not-so-professional writing, you can go to the website and check that out. But, no, I mean, I was just sitting here listening to y'all talk about these fights. I'm like, I'm going to be watching this MMA card. I don't really care about it. I mean, it's free for me. I got Showtime. Forget paying $30 to see, you know, Jeff Lacey and Roy Jones, when I can see some real fights between some fighters in their primes for pretty much free.
Ain't nothing like seeing some girls take a couple of shots to the dome, bro. I might have to be with you on that one.
I heard that. I want to watch it. I think that's going to be a good fight, man, explosive and stuff. You know, another news, man, the boxing world, Worlds Collide. Fernando Vargas is bringing back his Worlds Collide, okay, in Primm Valley Casino Resort. It's associated with, let me see, it's boxing and mixed martial arts.
$175,000 is on the line. No fame, no fortune, no fear, all fight. Okay, it's a night of doubleheader. Let's see, I'm not really seeing how many people. Okay, so this is what Fernando Vargas says about it. We're going to try to get Fernando Vargas on the phone too, man, and chop it up with us a little bit about this Worlds Collide and his mix, his whole, you know, mixing this MMA and boxing, putting it all together and stuff. He says, our semifinals round is going to be over the top, says President of World Collide Fights LLC and Boxing World Champion Fernando Vargas. I don't know if he was a world champion, though, man. You know, me and Chris were talking about this. We were arguing about this the other night.
You going to tell him that when he get on the phone, Ruff?
Yeah, I'm going to tell him, man, you know, you're a good I'm going to be like Strykehart. I'll be like Strykehart and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Strykehart was just drinking a heyday tonight. He just want to see us talking about fighting and killing each other and all that shit. That's all that.
Yeah.
Money.
You just wanted to hear about Eli Issa getting fights, man. I got kicked out of school and stuff from fighting,
Yeah, Rizzo got literally kicked out of school physically. Some bullies kicked his ass out of school.
All right. These matches are going to be very entertaining for boxing and MMA fans and will create an unforgettable matchup for the finals. Talking about Fernando Vargas and stuff, man. I don't feel like that about him and stuff. I thought he was rushed in his career and stuff. Got to have love for the guy, man, because he was a hell of a fighter and stuff. I just thought his career was cut really short because of bad management. The semifinals event includes 12 bouts with 24 athletes coming from Arizona, Nevada, and California as they compete and advance to the World Collide Championship in October and the 5,000 first place purse and World Collide bracelet. Oh, see? Look, now they're starting earning their belt. Now it's a bracelet, not even a belt. What shit is that? You know what I'm saying?
It's a diamond, though. It's a diamond.
I don't know, man. I ain't gonna question ferocious Fernando too much now.
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
He got a little too much attitude. He might not want to talk to us no more.
You might want to come down and hit us, man.
Hey, yeah, I know, dog. I don't want to be fighting Vargas on the street, bro. Fuck that.
Hey, Dave. Go ahead, brother. Yo, man, since you're just going over random shit right now looking for to fill the time, did anyone get a chance to watch El Perro last weekend, make that comeback?
Hey, you know what? I didn't get a chance to watch that, man. Yeah, no. I mean, any takes on that? I mean, what happened?
Well, he didn't look hesitant. You know how some guys are a little hesitant coming off their first loss and whatnot, but, man, he came out the gate guns blazing and, you know, that Puerto Rican kid, I don't call his name, but I've seen him on ESPN2 a couple times, and he just got blitzed. You know, he got ran over. He was trying to make some excuses at the end, but he got steamrolled, man. El Perro looks like, you know, as long as someone fights his fight and don't, you know, box him, that he's back on track already.
Yeah, dude was trying to outbox him a little bit, too. He was trying to move around a little bit, but, yeah, El Perro looked good, man. He that blood was in the water, and he, you know, he did his best impression of a shark. He tore him out the frame, dude.
Go ahead.
Hey, have you guys talked about this Emmanuel Stewart training Miguel Cotto?
Man, I don't even want to hear about that, dog.
No. Oh, my God.
I don't even want to hear about that.
But no, on the real, though, Cotto did need a new trainer, though, for real,
If Cotto gets trained by Emmanuel Stewart, he lost the fight against Manny Pacquiao. I don't want to hear nothing else. He just lost.
Exactly.
He just lost.
He better do some road work. I know that.
Actually, Cotto started training. He's been doing road work a lot lately. I think he's doing 40 minutes of road work right now.
You
know what, man? You know, Emmanuel Stewart, I got nothing against Emmanuel Stewart and stuff. You know, I know Daddy's not on the line because Daddy's from Detroit, so he'd back him up. But I never just thought he was a good trainer, man. I hate to say it, you know. I mean, the only fighter that he had that I thought that was great, that I you know, truly love, was Tommy the Hitman Hearns. Other than that, man, I mean, I don't know.
Michael Moore, dog? Come on now, dog. I don't agree with that, bro.
Okay, Michael Moore. Throw in Michael Moore. Other than that, who else?
Well, shit. I mean, Well, he has trained some good fighters. I mean, I don't think he brought him up, but he trained some good fighters like Lennox Lewis.
But have his roster. Okay, Lennox Lewis. You could throw Lennox Lewis in there too. That's a good. That's a good fighter. But of his last rosters of fighters that are not lower classes, we're not talking about the heavyweights. Has he been successful since Tommy the Hitman Hearns? No.
No.
But also, you guys got to look at that. He has not really taught too much to any fighter. Well, he's taught about Vladimir, but he didn't really have to teach Lennox anything. You know, Lennox was already
established. Yeah, exactly.
Already established, you know, and Thomas Hearns could have been Thomas Hearns to me. I don't know about anybody else, but he didn't need Emmanuel Stewart to become an all-time great fighter. You know, Pacquiao, like for instance, Pacquiao wouldn't be where he is today if it wasn't for Freddie Roach.
Do you think some fighters just got it? They just got it without a trainer, or the trainer just enhances them, or
no?
Like,
I don't think
that. Emmanuel Stewart's case, I would say that Thomas Hearns didn't need him.
I think some fighters are just naturally gifted. I think the trainer just brings the best out of them. Is it sometimes? But sometimes people do need a trainer like Jermaine Taylor, you know. But sometimes the trainer doesn't work for him. So.
But you know, man. I mean, speaking of Vivian Harris, right now, same another fighter. You know, I mean,
Dave. When you said Vivian Harris, I got a funny thought because I figured, man, is Golden Boy just grocery shopping for Victor Ortiz since he got his ass beat? You know, they're gonna like prepare
but
Vivian.
But I mean, how
gonna,
excited
like,
are you about
him?
Vivian Harris, though? Really, just be real.
You
how excited are
you
about
know,
Vivian Harris? Because
hey,
at
look,
times his heart don't seem like it's good.
But listen, but the time that he was, you know, taking people out, this guy was considered a hot prospect. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people were making a lot of hype about him because Emmanuel Stewart. Same thing with Andy Lee. Oh, because Emmanuel Stewart had him. Come on, bro. I mean,
well, then that fight that he fought against that, what did he fought who fought with that funny style that he lost to? Yeah.
Brian Vera. Andy Lee, when Andy Lee fought Brian Vera. Ovetta, whatever the hell he's, La Vega.
Yeah.
It's just that Vivian Harris, man, I don't know if all as vicious as they making him out to be.
That's what I'm saying. Like, look at the fighters that Emmanuel Stewart has and how they lost. They lost because they just didn't seem like they were learning anything. Jermaine Taylor, when he was on a downslide for most of his career, just didn't seem like he was learning from Stewart. Stewart just seems like he's in it for the money.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of these fighters like to throw Stewart under the bus when they know they need to be doing more, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Jermaine Taylor's situation, he just kind of threw Emmanuel Stewart under the bus because shit wasn't working out for him.
He's hard.
And a lot of times Stewart picks up fighters that need to be rebuilt, you know, so he has a project in front of him to where it's harder because a lot of times they're already,
yes, sir.
They're already built the way they are, and he's trying to change them.
Okay, but I would completely agree with you on what you said, Blood, and Carlitos, but the only problem is this. He picked up Jermaine Taylor, who was supposed to rebuild. He looked more like shit on that fight against Pavlik than any other fight, okay? Then he goes back to his old trainer. He looked way better. So what does that tell you?
See, the thing is that Manny Stewart, he's a star trainer, man. He picked up a lot of fighters. And sometimes fighters are better off sticking with who they know. And he take a lot of risk, man. He take a lot of risk with these fighters. So the minute these fighters fall off, they like to blame him for it, man. I think he gets a lot of bad rap for that.
Well, strike hard when you need him, when he can get on there. When he can get on here and say, I'm tired of hearing a man about Manny Stewart being a star trainer. Every time we get him in, he says, I'm a star trainer.
Emmanuel Stewart became a star trainer off of one dude, and is that, I mean, I don't know if that's really a legitimate star trainer.
I don't think he was a star trainer after Tommy Hearns, to tell you the truth. I think he became a star trainer after Lennox Lewis.
What made him is Kronk, man, the fact that he built Kronk. He built a successful gym. That's what really made him the household name that he is.
Yep.
Can I give my 5 cents on Emmanuel Stewart real quick?
Yes, sir.
All right, I don't really care about overrated, underrated. I don't really give a damn, to be honest. My problem with Emmanuel Stewart is he made Vladimir Klitschko's fights from going from entertaining to freaking unwatchable. He may have made Klitschko better, but goddamn, I can't watch his fights anymore. So thanks a lot, Emmanuel.
Vladimir was one.
I don't like him commentating. I'll tell you that. I don't like his commentating. I will say that.
Really?
Well,
who do y'all think could have got would have been better for Miguel Cotto then?
Nacho Bernstein. Nacho, easy. Bernstein. Nacho.
Bernstein would have done great. Nacho! Great for him.
That's a good promo for him. I like that.
You know. That should be the promo, actually. Like, Cotto coming out, Pacquiao fighting, then out of nowhere, the thing goes black.
Even our friend, Mr. Cowers, Coach Cowers would have been better. He's campaigning. He's out there campaigning.
Could be, though.
You know what I'm saying?
The thing is, these fighters are already who they are. And when they get a new trainer, they don't learn so much, especially when they're kicking 30 and all that. It's just like when Mayweather took Hatton. I mean, come on. How much would Mayweather really help Hatton, man? Ain't really much you could do for him at that state.
I mean, the reason I just say Nacho for Cotto is just because Latin fighters, you know, seem to have a certain style, a certain discipline, you know. And Nacho's the only guy I could really see blending with Cotto on a personal note where they can actually be outside the ring, getting along, talking about strategy, you know, and so on and so forth. They don't have to be in the gym talking about it all the time, you know. They can take it outside the gym and, you know, have it on a more personal level.
And obviously the success he's had against Pacquiao, whether you think he won or lost those two fights, that does help. That's a good point. That's a good point about Nacho.
Yeah.
Exactly, you know. And the work ethic that Nacho brings to the table, man, I think is something that is a big plus, especially for Cotto. He's going to need that, man. He's honestly going to need that, you know. I mean, I've gotten some emails just saying, you know, people thinking that Cotto's, you know, is shot. I don't think he's shot. I just think now his body is just more wear and tear, you know, from what it was back in the days. You know, I haven't done a video about the fight yet. I am going to do it soon, and I'm going to give my points out and stuff, you know. But the one thing I can say is this is the biggest puncher Manny Pacquiao is going to be facing in his career.
Yeah, that is true.
I just want to ask some people, because I read on a forum and I've been on talking to a few guys. They want to know, would you consider Cotto a better fighter than Marquez, skill wise? Who is better?
Well, that's a good question.
That's a really good question.
No, I think Marquez is better skill wise.
Yeah. Skill wise, yeah.
Overall, yeah, I think so.
But Cotto bigger and stronger. He's bigger and stronger than Mark is now.
I look at him as pretty much the same dude, but like, it's just Cotto doesn't have as much stamina, and as much as I hate to say it, he doesn't have as much heart.
And Marquez for a while was like a counter puncher, and he had a slower style, a smarter style than he has shown, at least recently, whereas Cotto has just always been, when he's hurt, he comes back at you right away, and he brawls a lot, too. He uses that jab and everything, and you know, he outboxed Shane near the end or whatever, but he's always had that more aggressive style, and whereas Marquez is, you know, early and middle to his career, he didn't always, wasn't as aggressive as he is now, so it's tough to say.
I think personally, Cotto need to go in there, rough Manny up, hit him with some fouls, let him know what's up. I mean, headbutt him a couple times, rough him up, man. Use your, hate to say it, but man, somebody got to rough Manny up some.
Yeah.
Let him know.
He's got to
know what's up.
Make a statement. You know what, bro? I agree with you on that. He's got to kind of watch. You know what he needs to do is watch when Tito Trinidad fought Vargas. Go for them low blows.
Yep.
I mean, but like, you know, I'll say, you know, Cotto's not. Cotto's
make
not
Manny sure. fight, man. Make him fight. Make him really, really fight and dish out some of that stuff he's dishing out. He's a bigger man. He needs to go in there and rough him up and really rough him up and bring the fight to him.
I can really hear the emails already. I can see the emails already. I hope you did not bet on this fight. You're just a man.
Yeah, I know, right?
I hope Cotto knock his ass out, too. And I'll say it right here. I hope Cotto beat the hell out of Manny Pacquiao.
I'm gonna say this. You know, before I used to argue with Blood a little bit on it, but I'm going to say I have to agree with him because now Manny Pacquiao is going to have to actually pay for what his managers are doing and what his
man, you're just saying that because he's fighting a Puerto Rican fighter. Be quiet.
That's a little true, really. That's a little true.
Puerto Rican power. Puerto Rican power. Screw that shit. I'm going to be biased, man. You know why Cotto's going to win? Cotto's going to win because Manny Pacquiao is not for the Puerto Rican. That's why. Now he's
that's
gonna
right. That's right. You see, and you know what? I'm going to tell you this, man, and this is the honesty. I don't want Cotto to win. You know, I'm going to tell you why. Because if Cotto wins, you know how many Puerto Ricans are going to bag on us Mexicans about here? See? Cotto beat all the Mexicans, but he couldn't beat a Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican. Yeah, exactly.
rough, man. I'm going to be honest. I was thinking about that shit the other day.
You see? I told you, man.
And yeah. People like to say that people don't go for their fighter. That's some bull crap right there. You know? I mean, Riddler would be silly to say he's going for Pacquiao and he's Puerto Rican. I mean, come on now. I mean,
yeah, I'm
going for Cotto because I just want to see Manny get his ass whooped because it's stupid ass fans. That's why.
You got to go in. A lot of people are saying you got to rough them up, and I see that at times, but you also just can't go in there just guns ablaze. And I think if you look at what Marquez did, he actually timed them coming in.
Exactly.
And he actually, you know, used that right hand, he used that jab. I think winning, to be honest with you, I think you got to outbox Manny at this point.
But he gotta let him know too. He gotta let him
you're
know.
Right,
hey,
right.
You ain't coming at me with that bull. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, hit him with a couple of blows, man. You know, just let him know what's up.
Yeah, I mean, on the hold and on the break, you can hit. Yeah, hit lays and all that. I agree with that. You know what? You know what, Carly? So I agree with you on that. You know, and not to give away a lot of the keys, but the one big key that I think that Cotto has that can really honestly confuse Manny Pacquiao is his jab. Nobody's really been able to have a nice, strong, stiff jab, which Cotto has, and just put it in his face. You know, I've had a couple guys go, the reason Cotto's going to win and the reason why a lot of people lose against Manny is because he's a lefty. There's not a lot of lefties in the amateur game. And I write them back and say, well, how many amateur fights do you go to or gyms? Because, dude, the amateur game and the gyms are overwhelmed with lefties now. So that's not even true anymore. You know? It's starting to be more common where people learn how to fight against lefties and stuff, you know, and you know what I mean? So there's some things there that Cotto can really take over on, but the question is like you said, if you brawl with Manny, and what a lot of people don't understand is once you get in that ring with Manny, you don't really know how fast he is until you get punched by him. You know what I'm saying?
And then he's gone. You're like, where'd he just jump out of the way now?
Exactly, you know.
Well, I hope he run into Cotto's hand somewhere down the line. That's all
he will. And that's the question. And that's the big question that I'm waiting to see, because that was the question I was waiting to see with Oscar De La Hoya, which we didn't get it. I said, how well is he going to react to a big 147-pounder, a guy that can hit at 147, a guy that's literally going to be walking in over 154, 156? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the big thing, you know, that I'm really, really kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? Now, is Cotto prone to getting cut? Is he prone to getting bruised? Yeah. But the point is this. Can Manny withstand a puncher that is way bigger than him? Is he going to be able to do it? Because that's the one thing, man, is that, and I think a couple of guys already mentioned it, is that Cotto, when he's in trouble, he fights back.
Yeah.
But you guys got the answer in the second Marquez fight. If you watch the second Marquez fight, or even the first one, you realize Pacquiao slows down when the fight's being brought back to him.
And but that's after a timing shot to get him off balance. That's after a timing shot that kind of wobbled him, and then you take him when he's there. It wasn't like you just came at him out of nowhere. You timed him as he's coming, then he got a little weeble wobble, a little off balance to the side, then you got him into the corner, and then you took advantage of him. In both those fights, that's what Marquez did. He just timed him and then took advantage of him, you know, going at him.
It's not going to be like Pacquiao is going to be getting countered, but he's going to, like, you know, rush right into you and do what he normally does, which is just throw, like, a barrage of shots. He slows down noticeably, but the thing is, Marquez, to me, was not big enough to finish Pacquiao. To me, I think if Cotto gets Pacquiao like that, the fight's virtually over. It's just going to be a matter of time.
If the same Cotto who came to fight Mosley show up, that's it for Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah,
it's
I
over.
Agree.
Yeah, because they did. Claudia even said that Cotto hit harder than Margarito. I don't know if we can take that for sure, but so we know he's got plenty of power about Cotto. That's for sure. Like Russ said, and everybody says, it's going to be his biggest dude, biggest puncher he's faced. That's 100% for sure.
You got to go to the body too. Cotto got to go to his body, make that body attack, make his presence known. Let Manny know he ain't going to come in there and impose his will on him. Because if Manny Pacquiao imposes his will on Cotto, I don't know what to say. But
yeah, if it's just
Cotto needs to impose his will.
Yep. If it's all speed, 1-2, in and out, going in sideways, all different angles, Pacquiao's going to eat him up.
You're going to eat him up, yeah.
Exactly.
Body.
One thing I don't think will have an effect on Cotto is the southpaw. Because Cotto is actually southpaw.
Yeah, Cotto could change his stance too.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. And he's not afraid to do it. Yeah.
The thing, I wouldn't recommend it for Cotto because Cotto doesn't fight like that, on a regular basis. So I wouldn't recommend it. That would be taking a chance.